It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here, and this is a big day. We got up early for the Surface event. Paul will try to talk me out of buying a Surface Pro. We also have Ignite going on. There's lots more information about Microsoft's plans for, well, everything from the metaverse to the Office 365-iverse. Yeah, stay tuned. A big Windows Weekly coming up next.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 798, recorded Wednesday, October 12th, 2022. Queued for unenrollment. Windows Weekly is brought to you by SecureWorks. Are you ready for inevitable cyber threats? SecureWorks detects evolving adversaries and defends against them with a combination of security analytics and threat intelligence directly from their own counter-threat unit. Visit SecureWorks.com/twit to get a free trial of Taegis Extended Detection and Response, also known as XDR. And by Hover. Whether you're a developer, photographer, small business, Hover has something for you to expand your projects and get the visibility you want. Go to hover.com/twit to get 10% off your first purchase of any domain extension for the entire first year. And by Collide. Collide is an endpoint security solution that gives IT teams a single dashboard for all devices, regardless of their operating system. Visit collide.com/WW to learn more and activate a free 14-day trial today. No credit card required. It's time for Windows Weekly. Yes, winners and dozers gather round. We've got, a big, big day here. Microsoft Ignite time, and Paul Thurrott's here from Thurrott.com.
The author of the
Field Guide to Windows 11.
You didn't think it was happening.
Which, by the way, I learned this morning, everybody wants Windows 11. I was so impressed.
Yeah. No, I know. You wouldn't think so.
Everybody wants
talking
it.
To us.
So but, excited yeah. about 22H2.
In the bubble. That's what they tell you.
People
that's
were so excited. Mary Jo Foley, all about Microsoft.com. Are you missing some Ignite sessions to be here with us? I'm sorry if you are.
In the immortal words of
okay.
the Office Space, I wouldn't say it, I'm missing him, Bob.
I thought in some ways Microsoft's biggest news was yesterday at the Meta event when Satya Nadella, who did not show up for today's Panos Panay event, showed up for Mark Zuckerberg.
Well, he was there for Ignite. And I mean, the event today, the Surface event, was pre-recorded.
It's yeah.
Right.
A little curious that Satya wasn't part of it, right?
Well, he was busy in the Horizon world with Mark.
Yep.
Getting
so
new
actually,
legs.
Mary Jo, we didn't discuss this ahead of time, but maybe we could talk about your theory here, because this, I think, is kind of interesting.
I thought the biggest announcement of the week was yesterday when Meta announced they were going to make the new Oculus Pro work with Teams.
Okay, but except it looks big, like when you think about partnership with Meta and like, you know, AR, VR. Sure. But then you're like, okay, who's actually going to use this, right?
Nobody.
Are you
going to
do
that.
A Teams meeting wearing a headset? Why?
Right. Ben Thompson, we were looking for a way
in Stratechery.
Remember how terrible the pandemic was? Imagine you had to wear a helmet.
Agree.
A mask and a helmet. Ben Thompson in Stratechery said that he really had been enjoying meeting with his team in the old Quest 2 until one of his team members lost his Quest, and so they went back to Zoom. But now he's so excited about getting for $1,600 each Oculus Quest Pros and getting the whole team together in Horizon World. He says you would never know that everybody was in a different place. He was very excited.
You're speaking nonsense talk now.
Total nonsense.
It's just total not nonsense. Making any sense at all for anybody.
Also,
I will say this. I like the UI. I do. I think it looks nice.
No, but think about this, right? Like, think about this for a second. If you're in Teams, what do you need to do? Type. How do you type wearing a headset?
In other words, you're saying it's chat-based collaboration.
Yes.
And,
right?
Okay.
That's what Teams in the metaverse will
in still
your
type,
view is you're using. How?
Well, but you'd have the helmet on. You'd have to put down the controllers, which means in the space, your hands would be like this, like a little raptor, like Tyrannosaurus Rex, just vestigially hanging there while you type with your real hands.
Right. Does this sound like a good experience, guys? I'm just asking.
Okay. Now you
know what it reminds me of? Windows 8, when they thought, hey, everybody's using touch and no one uses a keyboard, right? Except if you're at work, then you need a keyboard.
You know what I think?
Yeah.
I think the executives, including Panos Panay, the people who designed this stuff, have people who type for them.
It's got to be. That's because true. Otherwise, how
that's
do you
true.
Do it?
And write for them as well, not just type.
Executives don't type.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. I know. They don't.
Well, actually, so, just as a weird coincidence, I will say, I just yesterday recorded some new episodes of Hands on Windows, and one of them was about the lock and the sign-in screens. And if you really step back and think about it, why on earth does Windows have a lock screen? Like, what is the purpose of this user interface? It literally dates back to Windows 8 when they thought everyone was going to be touching things, and you wanted a screen to kind of sit there that you could swipe up on, just like when Steve Jobs swiped on the, you know, the fish thing from the original 2007 iPhone. But I have to give Microsoft a little credit. They turned it into a revenue source. It shows ads now, so it does that. But literally, it's another thing to get through to sign into Windows. Like, it's a pretty picture, you know?
Yep.
But it's literally dated back to that kind of failed attempt to make Windows make sense on touch. Touch devices. Yeah. That's all it is.
Yeah.
We still have it. Like,
just because you can do something doesn't mean you should, right? You can have a Teams meeting while you're in the metaverse and look at a Teams screen that's a virtual screen in the metaverse. But like, why are you doing this?
Right.
I don't know. It seems.
Well, actually, but hold on. We didn't get to your theory, though. Because you did have it. I don't know if you want to.
Well, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that theory because.
What? Oh, come on.
Well, here, let me break the rules then, and then you can come up with your theory. Microsoft Surface event was supposed to be yesterday.
Oh.
Right.
I don't think that hurts anybody. Well, it was supposed to be yesterday.
Right. So originally it was scheduled to be yesterday, and then Meta announced Meta Connect. And then a couple weeks later, we heard from Microsoft, actually, we're not doing the event on Tuesday. We're going to do it on Wednesday instead. And they never said it
was
because
of
Meta.
Which is the day of Ignite.
Right. They never said that. But when they first said it was going to be on Tuesday and then Meta announced Tuesday, I said to Paul, I'm like, what if Microsoft and Meta are doing an announcement together? And that's why these two events
you
are
knew.
On Tuesday. No, I was just guessing.
Right.
Right. Pretty impressive. By the way, I understand that this is not your lead story for today's show.
No,
but I don't remember how we got sidetracked, but I'm glad we did because I thought this was kind of interesting. Satya Nadella did appear at the Meta event, did not appear in the video that they made for the Surface event. Maybe he was originally going to do that. And they moved the date. What would the difference be? I don't know.
Maybe
I can't
one
imagine.
Was to segue into. No, that makes no sense.
Nope.
I feel like he only appears on Surface events when it's a big announcement. And I feel like today's Surface announcement was not a big announcement.
He only magically appears.
Right?
I will confess, I purchased one of those Oculus.
You did?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Great expense.
I thought you were going to say the Surface.
Yeah. You know what? Okay, well, you can talk me down. I'm very tempted because I was thinking of the 5G. I was impressed by the camera. Should we save all this?
We're going to step through everything that's wrong
later, and you can tell me what not to do. So my hand is off the buy button.
Okay.
Yeah, wait a minute.
I already bought it.
It will be firmly off the buy button when I tell you why.
Okay. I did foolishly buy, but they have a 30-day return policy. So I figured either this thing's going to wow me and I'm going to see the future or I'll return it. And I think either way.
I would take that bet.
It's, you know, I threw in on the Kickstarter, the original Oculus Rift Kickstarter, had the original one upgraded.
I'm sorry, we keep going back and forth between Surface and Oculus.
I put the Surface, the Surface is in the back of my mind
now. I don't have
now.
An opinion on Surface, Oculus. That's fine.
I did not buy any Surface.
I guess. No, that to me actually makes some sense, given what you do for a living and,
I have to try.
Maybe the world is heading in this direction.
Because what I'm thinking, every say 5 years, I'll check it out and see if we're getting any closer. And I thought it was really interesting that Satya showed up with Zuckerberg to flog the idea. It was almost an acknowledgement that, HoloLens really isn't for business, or because it's an AR device, it's not. Sure. So they showed it, people using Office.
Can we get our language together, right? Can we get our language going? No, I don't mean you and I, but I mean, you know, Microsoft calls things augmented reality and mixed reality.
Mixed reality.
The industry does use the term augmented reality, but it refers to what Oculus Rift is as virtual reality.
Virtual reality.
But now we're starting to use this term, the metaverse.
Well, it's confusing because this thing has a color camera, several color cameras facing out. So that's one of the things I'm interested in is how much of the world.
It's almost like it's mixed reality.
It is mixed reality, yeah.
Yeah.
We got to figure out these terms.
What is Meta calls it something even a third thing. I can't remember what it is. Anyway, all right, enough of that. People don't tune in to hear about that. Although, to me, again, this was a big announcement for Microsoft, bigger than the Surface.
Yes, we will talk about that aspect.
Okay, good.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. But let's start with Ignite.
Let's start with the real news.
The
Ignite,
real news.
Guys.
Loop.
Real news.
I want Loop. Where's my Loop?
Unfortunately.
Well,
What?
It's a private
preview.
You
got good news, we got bad news.
Oh. Private preview.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for a year? More? No. I don't remember. Yeah. Year and a half? And every time, it's always the next show, the next milestone, the next something. Mm-hmm. And it still is. And this is disappointing to me. I expected at the very least for this show, public preview of Loop.
Yeah, I know. But
we should to explain what Loop is, because I don't know if people are up on that.
So if you know what Notion is, the Notion.
That's why we're interested, because that's what we use for the show's prep stuff.
That's what it is. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
It's
Microsoft doesn't like you to say that's what it is.
It's a workspace with objects, a database. You can type in it. I think Microsoft's idea is that these little objects on this page can be from any of the many Microsoft.
Yeah, it's tools. Kind of a componentized modern replacement for what today is a traditional office productivity suite. It sort of is to content creation what Teams is to chat based or just to messaging and meetings and so forth. A new way of looking at this, a new way of doing it. Microsoft wisely, I think, and correctly saw this as an opportunity to bring in everything from the past, so you can have Word components, Excel components, OneNote components, whatever. But people who want to start fresh and start with the new stuff can just kind of move forward. If you look at, Leo looks at it, but if other people think about maybe what our notes are in Notion, basically just text, right? I mean, we have a little cute header graphic and things like that, but really what this is text and hyperlinks, because we're linking the stories that we wrote or stories that are available elsewhere on the web. And Mary Jo could, we could use this just to write articles, kind of copy and paste into web forms and so forth. But you can do much more complex things with them. So we're kind of this is one step above Notepad, basically, as far as
I'll show you. I use it for all sorts of things. So this is our travel planner, and I have upcoming trips here. And in the upcoming trip, I'll have a lot of details. I'll have confirmations, maps. I made one for our Alaska cruise. You remember that?
Which was awesome, by the way.
I could show that.
Nicer than anything that the cruise had. No, it really was.
I should have shared this because it's in my past journeys view. And here it is, the Twit Alaska cruise. And
because I'd always be like, what's it? Where are we going to be tomorrow?
Like,
I don't know. I've had a hard time finding it. Like,
and you can share this as a web page. It had all the stuff, the confirmations. You could put maps in it. I'm even not using it probably as thoroughly as, I mean, if you
go to... Well, you have different types of data in here, and that's kind of a better...
Mm-hmm. If you go to the subreddit for Notion, people are doing amazing stuff with it. I mean, it's really cool.
But, think about how Microsoft could take something like this and have those components be like standard web-based whatever, but also everything that's in the Microsoft Graph, all of the Microsoft products and services that already exist.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a way to be inclusive. And
it's exciting. I love this idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So this should pull in people. You know, it will be interesting to see how this works. Well, we've been waiting for years. We keep talking about it. I can't wait to see the Microsoft version of it, but yeah. It keeps getting pushed back. I don't know. They're having
trouble. You know, it's really interesting because meanwhile, Google is pushing ahead. We'll be talking about it on the next show this weekend. Google, but they are pushing ahead with something very similar in Google Docs. They see this as a way to make Google Docs more competitive with Office.
Well, because Google Docs today is very much a
stripped down
a word processor. It's a web-based version of Word.
It looks like an engineer designed it. It's very
plain. Make one of these, but put it in a web browser.
Yeah, you know. But they plan to do that same object model where you put stuff in there, and you know, Keep is like that. There's their note taking, the notepad app. This is an idea, and we've talked about this before, but this is something that computer scientists and companies like Microsoft have been thinking about for a long time, back with the with Olay, object linking and embedding, right?
Yeah, Microsoft, so if anything, over engineered that stuff.
Yeah.
Sorry. Right. It's two things, right? When you talk about loop, it's object linking and embedding, like embeddable components that stay constantly in sync. But it's also fast co-authoring too, right? So
it's collaborative. We couldn't do that very well before, but now we can.
Yeah. And so that's why it's hard to
bring stuff forward from the past, right? I mean, when Google created Google Docs from scratch to be like Word, they were able to add instant, you know, live co-authoring because it was just a new thing. They were creating it new. It's much harder to do that to an existing product like Word, because Word has been around since the late 1980s.
Yeah.
You know, and there's all kinds of legacy stuff going on there and all kinds of interactivity and integration and so forth that makes that stuff really hard to do. Well, obviously they failed. web version of Word, interestingly, is a better co-authoring experience than the desktop version or whatever. But anyway, but Docs is even better. And Notion is, I would say, one level above all of them.
Yeah. And I think one of the cool things about Notion is the ability to turn any Notion into a web page. So I was able to share that planning Notion with you as a web page. I think that's a nice feature too. It's there are people who make their whole blog on Notion.
I was going to say, it could be how you publish, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah. So I was trying to describe some, you know, Mary Jo must run into this issue. You meet somebody new and they're like, what do you do for a living? I'm like, I'm a writer. And they're like, ooh, that's really interesting. What do you write?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I write about computers. I'm like, oh, that's too bad. You know, they were hoping I was like Stephen King or something, you know, but I write horror, but it's about
Microsoft. So exactly. It is not so
they're
like,
oh, yeah. And then it is completely tuned out. They're looking out the window at clouds and stuff.
No, I always say, people say to me, what do you write about? I'm like, technology. They're like, oh, that's so exciting. I'm like, yeah, like operating systems, developer tools, quantum. Like, oh. And they're like, oh, no.
Mm. Oh, you're one of those people. I got started in print publishing, right? So I wrote books that were printed on paper. I wrote magazine articles that were printed on paper.
Wow.
And you make this kind of transition, but yeah, that's right. But, you know, like if you were getting started today, not that a lot of people would get started in writing today, but you know, they probably make YouTube or TikTok videos at this point. But if you were, this is kind of a new way of doing things that to me is a little alien and foreign, just like a blog in the early 2000s would have been that way to most people who came from traditional publishing. They'd be like, oh, that's so silly, you know, but actually it's pretty sophisticated and it's more modern. And I mean, it's not like we're switching over our websites anytime soon, but it's, you know, if you were getting started today, this is an interesting, that's interesting. You know, this might be a way to go.
All of which is to say we're excited about Loop.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And a little disappointed to be left out of the loop.
Well, I asked them if we could get access for Windows Weekly into the private preview, and they said they would take it under consideration.
Oh, poo.
That's all I could get.
Poo.
Sure.
Maybe if I write to, oh, I know. What if I tweet to them from my 500,000-strong Twitter account?
Chris Kapp. Did you ask Chris?
Well, it's a little more complicated than this because.
Yeah.
This is a commercial feature for one thing, right?
Right.
This is not, you know, the first version that ships publicly is not going to be for people with Microsoft accounts. It's going to be for people with a
enterprise
Microsoft 365 commercial account. No, Mary Jo and I both do have such an account, of course.
Yeah.
So we could still do it. But it's, you know, I think the issue here is I think a lot of people listening is like, I really want to get going on this. I would use Notion, but I'd kind of prefer the Microsoft thing. Mm-hmm. it's going to be a while. The fact that this is private preview and commercial only, it's going to be a year or more.
That's a little disappointing because I think if they would make it something that was widely used, it'd be more likely to get developers to develop plugins for it. It would build an ecosystem around it. Keeping it locked into business, it's a mistake. They did it to Teams at first, right? Now they're all hot to get everybody using Teams. That's not how you do it. You don't start an enterprise and then migrate it. Clearly enterprise the public, I don't think.
I don't think they feel like it's ready. They gave it very little play during Ignite. There was very little of it in the Book of News. Could I get more information on this? And they're like, no.
It's not ready. It's actually a harder thing to do than you know. Remember, Google had Google Wave, which was very similar, 10 years ago and killed it instantly.
But I think it really has to do with the difference between a consumer service and a service. So if you were going to come out with something like this for consumers, honestly, I think it'd already be out. Problem is you have to map all these different layers of permissions and teams that are internal to the company or external to the company, and where does the data sit and how do you surface it in different places? If it was just me and Mary Jo and we had Microsoft accounts and we had, we're just doing text, who cares?
That's
OneDrive, it'd be no big deal.
That's, I think, part of it is kind of doing the basic stuff's easy. It's the collaboration in real time that's tricky, very hard to do.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I bet that's the
requirements,
I mean, they've been focusing more on the components, right? The embeddable components. Right. I feel like that's where they've been putting a lot of their energy and their focus at the moment.
I bet they've been working on the infrastructure.
You do.
There's just a higher bar when it's Microsoft first party for commercial customers with all of their requirements. It's just a different
level. That makes sense.
It's like a company like Stardock can make something like Start 11, which works great. And it is used by some businesses, of course, but they have X number of customers, whatever it is. But the bar is raised so much higher. If Microsoft were to take that product and say, okay, we're going to put this in Windows, it would take them a year probably to make that convert, even though what would come out would be exactly the same in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they just have a higher bar for their commercial customers. I just think it's a complex thing. It's too bad. I'm trying to excuse it, but
computer science problem.
It is. I mean,
yeah, it is. No, it's
I really want to get going on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I asked them, and if it comes through, I'll let you guys know. But
Well, we kind of sucked it up with OneNote longer than I would have liked because Loop was right around the corner.
Yeah.
That's what we thought. So I think Ignite last year happened. Yeah. No Loop. And then, we turned
We're happy with Notion, though, right? It's worked out really well.
Notion works great.
Yeah, it has.
Much better than OneNote. Yeah. I thought, and I know you're going to talk about the Surface event later, but I was shocked that one of the features they talked about for these new tablets is GoodNotes, not OneNote.
Yeah. Well,
it's GoodNotes.
That was a weird thing to highlight.
What the hell?
And it came right after, hey, if you want to jot something out quick, you can put it right in OneNote. And then they showed sticky notes. And then right after that was GoodNotes, and it was like, oh, really? And I think that was an attempt to show that a product that is probably popular on iPads.
Oh, it's hugely popular on iPads.
Yeah.
Is now available on Windows. I think that's what they were really trying to show, but it was kind of bad timing, badly positioned.
If you hate OneNote, good news. We've taken a product from the iPad library, and we're gonna make it available on Windows. Congratulations.
Okay, so I'm not surprised. That's how it read to me when they did it. I was like, this is clearly an iPad product.
Oh, yeah. It's very popular on iPad. In fact, there was a lot of, I'll save it for later, but
I know. Mm-hmm. If you want to just get the Surface stuff over with, it'll take us like 5 minutes.
No, we could do that now.
No, it won't. I have a lot to say about Surface.
You do?
Paul has to talk me off the ledge.
I didn't even write the Surface stuff. I handed it off to someone else.
I've got my finger on the buy button.
This is so boring. Here, take this. I'll take the other stuff.
All right.
There's stuff to talk about.
Teams premium add-on.
Okay. This is important. For all you teams.
I was going to talk us through that nightmare.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So there's going to be an add-on available to Teams for people who want certain high-end features. And by high-end, I mean like a lot of AI, a lot of extra level of security, an extra level of customizability. So here's some examples of these features that'll be in this add-on. Like an AI-generated task thing so that if someone assigns you an action item in a meeting, it'll automatically be generated and you'll get it. Meeting guides, so you can pick the right meeting experience. Like, is this a client call? Is it a brainstorm meeting? What is this? Intelligent search for transcripts, advanced webinars, advanced virtual appointments, all these things that only a certain class and level of person will care about. If you do, it's going to cost you $10 extra per user per month. If you want all
that's
of these AI-ish
money.
It's a lot of money. Yep, it is. So I asked them, you know, it'll be an add-on to all the different plans, the Microsoft 365 plans. They say if you don't need everybody in your company to have it, like it, you just need the main organizer to have the access to premium in order to allow people to use these features. But still, it's a lot of money, right? And people, I didn't think we were going to have another level of Teams. Like here's Teams built into your plan and it comes as part of Microsoft 365 or get Teams Essentials if you don't have Microsoft 365. But now here's this extra add-on and it kind of speaks to the idea of how Microsoft prices things anymore. They don't want to keep adding more like E5, E7, E9. They don't want to go that way. Instead, they have all these add-ons, right? So if you're somebody who cares about some of those kinds of things, you know, locking down your Teams meeting content at a higher level so that people can't take a document and pass it off to someone like me, like a journalist, you probably will want this add-on.
Yeah, there's some stuff. It's too bad that they mentioned the mesh avatars, because if I'm an executive, I'm going, I'm not paying $10 a month so my people can be a cat.
No, so that's separate. Mesh avatars
that's,
are
that's
separate.
Not a big deal. That's not a big deal.
That's
all,
not
this
part
is,
of this.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I mean, there's, you know, translations for captions, which is great.
Pretty great, right?
Sure. Yep. A security.
A lot of nice things.
Watermarking.
Yep, nice things.
Yeah.
Yeah. All that kind of good stuff. Right? Yeah. But $10 per user per month, an extra level for you.
That's how you know the pandemic's over, baby. They're charging for stuff.
Right.
You know?
Now, mesh avatars is the thing we were making fun of last year at Ignite, you know, where we were saying these little cartoon-like characters that you can customize and put different outfits on and have different expressions for people who don't want to use their own face on camera during a Teams meeting. These are now available in private preview.
There actually may be a lot of demand for this. Who knows? I mean, I think
I noticed
a lot of
they're
people
all props above the waist.
No legs.
No legs in the Microsoft world. Only in the Meta world you get legs.
Yeah, Meta didn't have legs until they said in the Meta event it was the most demanded feature.
Was it really?
Yeah. The number one thing
legs.
People tell us they want is
why does
legs.
It say legs? Yeah, exactly. Legs?
But you know, a lot of people comment on that. They're like, why do you only see from here above? Well, if you're in a meeting, you don't see people's legs,
it's fine.
Right?
Well, we're going to change that right now.
These are like,
oh, no, don't
no,
do
I don't want to see your legs, Paul. These are because I know he's wearing shorts. These are Memojis, kind of, you know. And can you make it look like you? Is that the idea?
Yeah,
or
you can customize it more to look like you with features and you know.
I do think this is going to be popular with people because I don't think many are happy with the way they look on camera.
Think, exactly, a lot of
this
people
is
really
a
don't
stylized,
like this.
Yeah. Idealized version of you.
Yeah.
You know? Right. Yeah, so that's gone into private preview. If you get into the private preview, in order to get in, you basically have to be in the technology adoption program for Office and Microsoft 365. That's how you qualify right now to get in. But if you do get in, you can start using your Teams avatars now in your Teams meetings. So we may be having meetings with people, and suddenly one of these things will pop up because they have.
That's going to be amazing.
You know what else is going to pop up?
What?
Mark Zuckerberg. I got legs.
Oh,
I got legs.
What happened?
Him popping up.
He
I'm popping up.
Like Bill Gates. Remember Bill Gates jumping over a chair?
Look at all the people Zuckerberg. In the back without legs jumping up and down. What's
that's so horrible. Legs? It's so ableist. All these poor people in the back have no legs, but the
people
presenters
that don't matter don't have legs. I think that's what we're learning here.
I've learned a new term, NARP, not a real person.
Yeah.
And to people like Mark Zuckerberg, that's us.
Yeah.
Right. It's everybody.
It's everybody else.
Yep.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. 2.1 million views on that tweet, by the way. Everybody likes it. Everybody
wants avatars.
Everybody wants legs.
I heard from a lot of people on Twitter today, like, I don't want any part of this avatar thing.
But I think Paul's right. I think there are a lot of people who don't like all the zooming and teaming and all that stuff because they don't want to sit on camera. In fact, I think that's for some people, it's the Zoom fatigue is that, right?
No, and you understand it more than anyone, Leo, because you're on camera a lot.
At myself on camera.
But it's a lot.
Yeah, no,
right?
But that's
I'm a trained professional.
Yeah,
most took people me years just to get used to this.
Yeah, they want to get the job. This has been horrifying, I think, for a lot of people.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah. I
just want to get my job done here. What are you doing? Like, why are you? You know,
exactly.
My company has more meetings now than it's ever had. They clearly didn't get the memo in the pandemic thing, but
What else? Let's see. New rebranded Microsoft 365 app. What is that?
So this app, I think Paul uses it too. I use it. It's this unified app. I use, especially on my phone, I use it. It has Word, Excel, PowerPoint.
You're referring to the Office app for now.
Oh, it's everything. Yeah.
It's crunched into a subset of features so that you get them all in one unified app.
I've been puzzled by this for years because I have on my iPad, for instance, Word, Excel. I have all the apps, but then I have a Microsoft app. What do I need that for?
A Microsoft app? I'm not sure about that one, but
it launches the Word and Excel. It's like a little launcher.
Yeah. This is a little different between web, Windows and desktop mobile. Mobile. But I think the point to date has been you can see all the stuff you've been working on.
Yeah.
You can go back to a document that is recent if you're on web.
Wherever you've been working on it.
Yeah. If you're on the PC and there's some weirdness on the PC app because in some cases it will launch the web app even though you have the real app on your computer. Right. So there's some kind of goofiness there. So, but what's the fundamental difference? Like, in other words, other than rebranding.
Right. So they're rebranding it.
What's the point?
Right. So they're saying a lot of people who've always used Office, you think you know what Office is. Like you think you know. I know what Word is. I know what Excel is.
You
I know
think
what
you know
is,
what
right?
Office is, but you don't know what Office is.
This is not your
you
father's
There
office.
Are a lot of things. No, like loop components is a good example. Microsoft has added a lot of new stuff to Office that a lot of people just don't even know about. And so they're thinking this app is going to be a good way to show people, like, look at all the stuff we put in Office that you don't even know about.
That's a good point.
Right?
I think it's also like about things, collaboration, though, right? In other words,
totally.
Like when I go and look at recent, well, I mean, this is shared with me. I mean, this is kind of a goofy Microsoft account type thing, but actually there is shared stuff. But I bet this is going to be a little bit more like, I almost think of this as like SharePoint in a way. You know, the way we might have used SharePoint 5 years ago or something. You go into SharePoint, there's a feed that has stuff your coworkers are doing or the documents that they're sharing with you or whatever. Kind of like a front end to your like work-related Office stuff, whether you created it or you're just part of a team that's working on it.
Okay. Yeah, on mobile, I feel like the reason I use it in mobile is you can do all these actions directly inside of the Office app on mobile. So like if I want to sign a PDF, I only do it this way. So I go into this app, the Unified Office app, and I turn a Word doc into a PDF and then I sign it on my phone and then I mail it from there because you can just do it like with one click, basically.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It sets you up to do that.
Makes
it
sense.
Is amazing. Yeah. So there's all these little things you can do that people don't even know. Like people are like, wait, you can like turn a Word document into a PDF and sign it. And use the Office app. You could do it in a second, right?
Right.
So
they're calling it the Microsoft 365 app, which makes sense because that's what they call most of the Office 365 plans now. So it's kind of time that they caught up with the branding on there.
Scooter X says that he already is seeing a banner in his Office app that says the Office app is becoming the new Microsoft 365 app.
Oh, wow.
That's on iOS, Scooter X. Where is that?
There you go. I was going to say, where does he see that? Yep.
I'm reading your mind, Paul.
Yeah, because I haven't seen that yet myself.
Yeah,
I haven't either. Yeah,
it's probably on the iPad or something like that. Yeah,
yeah. But it's if you've never tried it and you want to try it, just go to office.com. Just type in office.com in your browser, and you can use the web version of it and see what it's all about.
And it would pull you into Word if you needed more features than in the basic app. Is that the idea, or?
I wonder if it upsells you, right? It says to you, you can't do this with this app.
Right.
You can buy a Microsoft 365 subscription.
Oh, I get it. This is free. You get this for free.
There's free and there's paid, right? Okay. There's free version that lets you do a lot of things.
Yeah.
And then to unlock more features, you have to have a Microsoft 365 subscription to get everything.
Okay. Yeah, WWD in our chat room is saying he likes it. It's a godsend for us that support less intuitive users that don't know what app to use. So I guess he will say, or she will say, well, too.
That's probably most people, you know. It's such a weird assumption that you think everyone completely understands anything related to Office.
Right. So I guess he or she will say, open the Microsoft Office app or like that. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me take a little break. Do you mind?
No.
Because we have so many things to talk about.
We sure do.
And our fine sponsors are just waiting there, champing at the bit to say hello to all you winners and you dozers and anybody in business. SecureWorks is a leader in cybersecurity. You know you need this. Building solutions for security experts by security experts. SecureWorks offers superior threat detection and rapid incident response, all while making sure that customers are never locked into a single vendor. This is October. September is over. It's October. And that means we are now smack dab in the middle, not only of the spooky season, but Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Actually, they go hand in hand, don't they? It means now is the time to raise awareness about digital security and empower everyone to protect their data from cybercrime. SecureWorks has the perfect solution. They call it Taegis XDR, Extended Detection and Response. And now's the time. You need Taegis XDR more than ever before. In 2022, this year, cybercrime will cost the world $7 trillion, with a T, trillion dollars. By 2025, that number is expected to grow to $10.5 trillion. In 2021, last year, ransomware totaled $20 billion in damages, and attacks occurred every 11 seconds that we know of. By 2031, ransomware projected to cost $265 billion a year and strike every 2 seconds. Make sure your organization is not the next victim with SecureWorks Taegis XDR. SecureWorks Taegis provides superior detection, identifying, get ready, more than 470 billion security events per day, prioritizing the true positive alerts, eliminating alert noise, and allowing organizations to focus on the real threat. In addition, Taegis offers unmatched response, very important, because you know the faster you fix it, the less damage it's going to do. With Taegis, you get automated response actions to eliminate threats before the damage even happens. With SecureWorks Taegis Managed XDR, you can easily leverage SecureWorks experts to investigate and respond to threats on your behalf. So you can cut dwell times, you can decrease the operational burden, you can reduce cost, and with 24/7 by 365 coverage, it doesn't matter whether you experience a Christmas Day security event or half your team is out sick, you can trust SecureWorks is there. They're behind you. Many companies facing a shortage of security talent, that's another big problem, right? SecureWorks acts as an extension of your security team on day one, alleviating cybersecurity talent gaps. It allows you to customize the approach and the coverage level you need. Now, very important, what happens if you've already discovered an intruder in your system? You know, sirens are going off. No need to worry. Write down this number. You will want this. Put this somewhere you can get to it fast. 1-800-BREACHED. Memorize it. 1-800-BREACHED. Whether you're a customer or not, that number will connect you with the SecureWorks Emergency Incident Response Team. Very, very good people here. They can provide you with immediate assistance any time of the day or night, any day of the week, any day of the year, in responding to and remediating a possible cyber incident or data breach. It's nice to say, help, 1-800-BREACH, remember that. At SecureWorks, you can learn more about the ways today's threat environment is evolving, the risks it can present to your organization, including case studies, reports from their prestigious counter threat unit, and more. Visit SecureWorks.com/twit. Get a free trial of Taegis XDR. It's really nice to have this incredible people on your side. SecureWorks.com/twit. Remember that. SecureWorks, defending every corner of cyberspace on your behalf. SecureWorks.com /twit. Okay, back to Paul and Mary Jo and the litany of fascinating new things we're learning about at Ignite. Wait, is Ignite all day today and tomorrow?
And Friday.
And Friday. And we are, Sacha already spoke.
There's a Panos Panay talk tomorrow.
Thursday. Best
Mr. Hair, best dish.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Did you see him with the hair dryer? And the?
Yeah, that was hysterical.
That was actually the best moment, I think.
Yeah.
Mark Rusinovich tomorrow on what's new in Azure.
Oh,
what's
that'd
coming
be great.
In Azure. That could be pretty good too.
Why did I? Why do I think that I thought he was leaving Microsoft? Was that a rumor or something? No, he's still there.
Rusinovich?
No.
He's still there.
Okay, good. No. I must have misunderstood.
Yep.
Never mind. I didn't say that.
Never mind. He's still there.
God, thank goodness.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another new app. Want to hear about Places?
Yeah.
Not really.
No. What's Places?
This will be quick. Places is an app that Microsoft's building for launch in 2023. So this app is for people who need to figure out how to coordinate with people on their team, whether they're remote, at work, or wherever they are. So they say it does like hybrid scheduling, right? It tells you, where are my colleagues today? Are they in the office, or some in the office, or some at home? So you can do intelligent booking. You can do hot desk booking. You know how people share desks at work? You can reserve a desk. You can reserve a conference room. You can do all these things that people need to do these days because it's complicated where employees are.
Yes.
And how you are going to connect with them. So it sounds pretty cool. It's like Microsoft Bookings on steroids in a way, just adding Microsoft Teams Rooms plus Bookings, and you're getting this new app called Places. That's it. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Okay.
Have it.
Maybe Paul would like to talk about something now. Microsoft Edge, perhaps?
Yeah.
Boy. So actually, this is related to something we were just talking about. You've got this company, Microsoft, that makes products for individuals as well as for companies. And how do you release those things? You know, and so in this case, there's a feature coming to Microsoft Edge called Workspaces, which takes a product that we've typically used as individuals and kind of upscales it so that you can use it as part of a team. You know, and it's a way basically just to share groups of tabs with others on a project you're working on. I do kind of feel like we're getting to the point where we almost have too much of this stuff. And I wish there was a... Right. I mean, it's complex. And I don't just mean from an edge feature standpoint. I mean, you literally work at some company. You're on some team of people. You do some job, whatever it is, and you collaborate in some way. Microsoft offers dozens of ways to. I mentioned SharePoint. You know, SharePoint is still kicking around. People still use it every day. Some people still work out of Outlook every single day. They exchange emails. They send versions of documents around. You know, there's all different ways to do this. We keep talking about loop components like it's some kind of a holy grail. You know, is it? Right. I don't know.
So the strategy, I feel like Microsoft always has too many ways to do one thing, right? Like this is just the way they've always been. Like it's overkill, but they're big on giving people choice. So everybody thought Teams was going to be the only place to collaborate. But Microsoft knows there are some people who live in Outlook, not Teams. And there are some people who live in the browser and not Teams or Outlook, right? So they're trying to give everybody their favorite place to collaborate, I feel like. But meanwhile, like you said, it's confusing. Like, are we working together in Teams today? Or are we working together in Edge with the workspaces? Or are we going to do something else? You know?
This is going to seem overly simplistic, but do you think that this feature came up out of Collections? Is that possible?
I think it came up because of what Google is doing with tabs. Yeah, I think that's where this came
from. Tabs in Chrome. Okay.
Yeah. That's my guess. What's interesting is this feature, Microsoft showed off this feature 2 years ago, I believe. And they called it Edge Workspaces. It was in a Canary build. And then earlier this year, mention of it leaked again in another Canary build. So everyone knew it was like lurking and maybe going to be announced. And I think when Google and somebody else told me today, Opera has a similar feature as well. So I think they're just trying to do basically what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, but Opera doesn't target the enterprise. You know, right. I mean, this is, I think the thing that's interesting about this is heading out to the enterprise. And also
going to consumers. Did you see that?
Oh, no, of course it is. I mean, but I'm saying, you know, in other words, but they are doing it for The enterprise, it's that bar. You know, there's a high a high bar when you're talking to the enterprise with this kind of thing.
It's true.
You know, I don't know, maybe it was a couple of years ago. Actually, it might have been before the pandemic, but when Surface Duo first came out and they were talking about, or when they announced it, and they announced Neo, remember, ahead of time.
Yeah.
And then shipped it. There was the whole debate around dual screens and how it supposedly impacts your productivity in some positive way, which we know is ridiculous. You know, the way they're marketing Edge today is that literally having to leave the app you're working in, you know, do something else somewhere else is distracting and draining, which is exactly what I described a dual screen setup as being. And now they want you to do everything in the one app, you know?
Yeah.
Microsoft Edge has a calculator built into it. It has these little kind of applet things as a sidebar. There's Outlook experiences and gaming experiences and all kinds of other stuff. And I don't know. I don't have an answer here. I feel like Edge has gotten too complex and will continue to get too complex. But on the other hand, when I listen to the rationale, which I just described, you know, that for a lot of people, it is very confusing to have to kind of context shift to do different things. Mm. Yeah, maybe. And unless they really do have a plan to create like an edge based platform of some sort, literal edge computing device, if you will. Right. That's super simple and you do everything in a web browser, which I know sounds super familiar to something that already exists. At that point I could say, okay, this kind of makes sense. Right. But just as an individual using a web browser and trying to go to Amazon.com or whatever, a lot of stuff in the way, you know, these days. I find this to be, I'm kind of mixed on this. I don't know which direction they should go in.
Yeah. I bet there is a plan for a device at some point, but I don't think we have that plan yet. There's got to be, right?
Yeah, there has to be.
Otherwise, why are you putting, or they're assuming like people will, you know, we keep saying, why are they acting like there's a big market for Windows tablets? But maybe they think there will be if they have this kind of an experience available.
Edge is part of Windows, but Edge also goes to other devices, but Edge is part of Windows. And now Edge is a source of duplication of functionality in Windows. Like if Windows already does it, why is this an Edge? You know, I mean, even something like Collections, my argument at the time was you already have OneNote. Why not just integrate OneNote into Edge and have the UI that's in there be what Collection is, and just a real simple view of a certain type of OneNote functionality. And then when you open OneNote, you see that exact thing there.
Yeah.
And then one of the things they added to Collections eventually was what? OneNote integration. It's like, you already have this thing. Why are you making something different?
But that's, notes and tasks in general at Microsoft, there are so many options and ways, right? Like sticky notes, OneNote, Notepad, WordPad. Like there is just an endless number of things you can do if you want to take notes, right?
And now GoodNotes.
I know. Yes. I'm just like, there's so many.
Asterisk not made by Microsoft. I know. Crazy. Right. If GoodNotes is so good, stop making notes.
Let someone else do it. Making bad notes. Where are bad notes, Paul? You know, maybe you could write that app. Bad notes.
I think OneNote is bad notes. OneNote was created, the surface that you write on was not compatible with Microsoft Word. In other words, if you copied and pasted from OneNote into Word, it wouldn't come out 100%. You know, it was different. They were different styles. You could copy and paste from Word into a web form, would work great. You could not copy, still cannot copy from OneNote into web form. Does not work great. Mm. Okay. Why do you have these two different things? And why today do you still have these two different things? Why was there no, well, now they're just redoing it. I think Loop is going to answer the OneNote problem.
You do.
And I think, by that is I don't think there's another simpler notes app coming from Microsoft. I think OneNote will float around like it always has. And a lot of people will just use Loop for note taking, just like people today could use Notion for note taking. Mm-hmm. 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 And it would be a simpler experience. And I think it's certainly more of what I'm looking for. And I bet it's more what most people are looking for. Yeah. And when you paste from that into a web form, it looks perfect. Which is ultimately what most people are looking for these days.
Yeah.
If you have to export. All right. Sorry. I didn't mean to go off my little.
Where are we?
OneNote is terrible tangent.
We're in the dev box. I was trying to remember this morning the name of the dev box because there were rumors. Yeah, there's so many rumors flying about this Surface event, like they show a tiny computer and nothing. They didn't do anything. So No. They didn't mention the dev box even, but I guess that's not really where you'd mention that. That's not.
It is in the Book of News, though.
Oh, okay. Wonder who.
So what is the deal? So it is now. No, it's available now in preview.
Now in preview,
that's
right?
What it is. Yeah, it's preview. Not generally available. It's in preview. No. So you have images for these virtual machine images are up in the Azure Marketplace. And so this is a way to have a more powerful computer that you might need for some specific reason, pre-designed for you up in the cloud. You can fire the thing up, do whatever it is you're going to do in it. And then, so you could use any.
Do whatever. No, it's whatever it is you
well,
do.
Well, I mean, in other words, like developers can't have one of everything in their office. I'm sure a lot of them have tried, and a lot of them still do try.
Yeah.
And, virtual machines serve a purpose, but virtual machines require maintenance and management and storage and physical devices and on it goes. So this is a managed service. I'm sure there will be individuals that use this, but I think for a lot of big developer teams, this is going to be, I need to see what happens when I target whatever the environment is. I need to use some computing resources I just don't have at home.
Yeah.
How do I do that?
They're saying it'll save you time, right? Like if you have a really complex setup as a dev and you need to get everything just right before you start, they're like, what if you could just have these images in the cloud and there's my dev box, right?
That's why Docker is so popular right there in a nutshell.
Yeah.
It's the whole point of Docker.
Although, I think we talked about this when they must have announced this at Build, and I'm sure the conversation we had at that time was, I don't know any developer who would take a stock anything and just use it. I mean, I feel like developers probably spend half their time just configuring things to be exactly the way they want
it. But what if you could have your perfect configuration in the dev box on the cloud?
Yeah,
different. Now you can write. Yeah, right. Oh, that's true. And then you could access it from your cute little Chromebook when you're home with the kitties.
Raf told me he was very excited about this feature, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, but let's think about what Raf is, really.
talking about Raphael.
Of course, he's excited.
Who was on the cruise and a wonderful fella, by the way. And his wife. Loved his wife.
Sweetheart.
Yeah. Raf, what's his name? Raphael Rivera?
Yes.
Double R.
It's just that pronounce his last name Riviera, but he doesn't like that.
He always dresses in fine Corinthian leather.
That's exactly right.
New Outlook features for hybrid work.
I know. See, it's like it writes itself. Or something.
Weebles wobbles, but they don't fall down.
Absolutely fall down all over themselves. Mary Jo, anything?
I didn't really even write this one up. There was so much in the Book of News.
There's not much. There's not much.
I didn't take this one on.
Okay, so
is this Project Monarch?
I was going to say. So with the understanding that Outlook is a bunch of different things, unfortunately, this is a couple of small things for every single version of Office Outlook that there is. So there is the Project Monarch thing that's coming. There is the web version. There is the current Windows application. There is the Mac application, right? And there are mobile applications, too. I don't think they talk too much about that. But basically, I think the big thing here is better support for loop components coming to the web version of Outlook first, of course. But that means it's probably going to come to that Monarch client soon as well. Right. And it will be coming to the native client, too. But yeah, there's just a couple of small things for everyone. It's like, a couple of small features for the Mac version. In the desktop native client on Windows, and I'm not sure about the Mac, but this new the hybrid bit is there are people who are obviously working at home. There are people who come into offices. How do we match up their schedules? We want to have a meeting. So, and how do we provide a thing in that meeting event that's in Outlook that lets you go back if you missed it or you want to recap it or whatever. After the fact, it will be available in Outlook now. Whereas before it was like, I wanted to see the meeting recap. Where do I do that? Probably Teams if that's what you're using, but, we'll also be coming to Outlook. So this is, unfortunately, every single time we talk about Microsoft with regards to anything they would announce at Ignite, there is this conversation, which we've already had where They do a lot of stuff in a lot of different places, you know, so that like meeting recap is something that you can get through Teams today. Meeting recap is something that is coming to Microsoft Outlook. So depending on how you work,
it's coming to Edge. I bet it's coming to Edge.
You bet it is. It's going to be in that stupid sidebar thing. Of course, meeting recap. Yeah, to wait for it. It's I'm sure you're right. Yeah, this isn't a big one. And actually, one of the things that will impact Outlook, I think we have. Yeah, it's actually the next item. So Microsoft Editor is Microsoft's Grammarly competitor. So it's something that's built into now Word, of course. It's built into Outlook. So when you're writing an email, you know, you don't look like an idiot and use bad grammar or spelling or whatever, or Tone, which is kind of one of the new things that's coming. Outlook will take advantage of the new stuff that's coming to Microsoft Editor. And if you're familiar with Grammarly, the rundown of features that are coming in Microsoft Editor will look very similar, or very familiar, I should say. Mm-hmm. You know, around like the tone of what you're saying. And that's something Grammarly can do. You know, you write something, it will say, you know, this looks a little aggressive. do you want to maybe sit on that for a second? And you can do, you know, summary and conciseness, you know, just for better writing. I will say Microsoft Editor can only get better. It is very obvious to me when I read certain Microsoft blog posts that those people are using Microsoft Editor because it's not actually very good, which is crazy given how much experience Microsoft has with language and writing style and spelling mistakes and grammar errors. And
obviously
all that kind
of don't
stuff.
Use their own.
I know it's crazy.
Or their tool sucks.
Better, right now, Grammarly is a much better product.
Okay.
However, Microsoft is an AI powerhouse, and they do have all that experience. So I do expect Microsoft Editor to get better over time. And
I probably should mention at this juncture, Grammarly is a sponsor.
Okay, but that I didn't know that. And
nobody cares. It's fine.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Just a disclaimer. It's not.
Yeah. You know. It's what I use, and it's what I recommend.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Good.
I can't tell you. I write in Microsoft Word. It is ridiculous to me. Every day when I take something from Word, paste it into the Word WordPress, and Grammarly will find 3 to 7 mistakes. Word never found. That's inexcusable. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Weird. Yeah.
Every day.
You mentioned this several times, the Book of News.
Yeah.
I wonder who wrote the book of I don't wonder yeah. Where can I get the Book of News?
So the easiest way to get it is probably to just do a search for it. Look for Book of News Microsoft Ignite 2022. And the Book of News has all of the announcements Microsoft made at Ignite, all of them. There's hundreds. We were just talking about like 6 here, but there are more.
I want to know where I can get this chair. I don't care about the Book of News.
I don't care about the news, but the chair
is great. Yeah. So this Microsoft does this for every event. This is
big event.
Is this for Ignite attendees or for the press? It's mostly the press, right?
Well, mostly us, but anybody can make use of it.
Right.
You know, because like I said, we have to pick and choose what we write. We can't write everything, and so if you care, say about Cosmos DB, you should get the Book of News and look up the announcements around that.
Right.
Right. If you care about anything, if you care about Loop, for example, if you go to the Book of News, search for the word Loop, you'll see that there's only one very small section, unfortunately, and we were hoping for more. Yeah. In fact, I think it is all literally in one section. No, it's in a couple sections, but there's really not a lot to it. Well, it's a little section. The editor section is even smaller, but whatever it is you care about, this is a great resource. And I'm so glad they put this out public because they've given it to us for years privately. They gave it to us ahead of time before the show, and now the day of the show, they actually put it out. I think it's smart.
It also is impressive in terms of the breadth and depth of Microsoft. I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
What's interesting to me is
Hugging Face?
I know. Well, read that. So Hugging Face will host Bloom. What language are we talking? What are you talking about?
You know, jumped at
me. Wait, what is this under? What section?
This is, I think, machine learning. What's interesting, Azure Machine Learning. What's interesting, though, is that name is familiar. I'm just trying to. Is it art? AI art?
I have no idea. So there is a learn more about this update link below, which I think is the most, in some ways, is the most fascinating bit here, because every one of these things, a lot of most people would skip over mode. They'd be like, no. But all of them have teams of people doing work every day.
Yeah.
This is their big event.
Yeah.
You can go to their little, not their little, you can go to their big announcement and learn more about it than is in the Book of News. Because, of course, it goes much deeper.
Hugging Face. Now I remember, and thank you, Out of Sync. Hugging Face is where you can get Stable Diffusion.
All right, let's talk about Surface.
Let's talk about Surface.
I have a lot to say about this.
Okay, so can I just say a couple things?
Unfortunately.
Because I said I got up really early to watch it. Panos Panay.
Terrible, yeah.
The pseudo sincerity is grating on me.
Grating, yeah.
It's always, you know, and his brow.
We'll never
is
know
furrowed.
What the percentages are. Some people just think he's the most sincere, believable, heartfelt person, and others are like, "Oh my God, what's happening here?"
Wow.
I don't. I find him. I don't know.
But I like Bastiche.
I do too. Love him,
Stevie Bastiche. You
know? Yeah, I'm saying his name wrong, but I thought he was great.
Stevie, we call him Stevie.
Stevie. Long hair. At first I thought, is this Russell Brand? It's Howard Stern.
They should have had that Craig Federighi moment where he was like blow drying his hair in slow motion.
They missed him. They missed some opportunities. It was fully pre-recorded. There was no live audience. It was just, here's a video, watch this. Mm-hmm. Which it's rumored that's what Apple's going to do with its next thing, is not even bother. They're gonna mail
it in. Why bother?
Why bother? The things that stood out in my mind that I was very impressed with, actually. Yep. One, and this came from The Verge. Tom Warren wrote in The Verge. He had used the new Surface Pro 9 with the ARM chip, the so-called Microsoft chip. And he said, you know what? You wouldn't know it's ARM. It's actually... I'll ask you about that. But it tempted me. I was very impressed. I think that Pixel Perfect screen is great. I mean, I loved it on the Surface Studio.
Yep. $4,500.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah.
I'm sorry, the studio.
But even on the Surface Pro, it really looks beautiful.
Yeah, okay.
Very responsive to the pen. Very impressed. It's got 5G now, which you and I had talked about, Paul. Like, why don't they put 5G? And I had concluded, well, because everybody's got a phone and they can hotspot. So, but they put 5G in. I think there are people who will be very happy about that. I was very impressed with the camera and the noise reduction because they have the Intel version. They have a neural processing unit in there. Is that the Intel only or has ARM got that?
No, that's
also
the ARM version.
It's the ARM version.
Yep.
So I'll just say, reviewing laptops, that those capabilities, background noise, AI background noise reduction.
They had a guy with a leaf blower. You couldn't hear it.
Yeah. How real was that, though?
Well, I'm counting on you to give us the...
I don't know yet, so we'll see. But I wouldn't buy a computer because of that, personally. And that ARM thing, I'm sorry, but ARM is not quite there yet.
What do they call it? The SQ2? What is it? The Microsoft?
SQ3 is the new one, and it's based on the latest Qualcomm thing. Which
it's basically
is
a Qualcomm chip, right?
It's absolutely better than it's been.
Yeah.
It's still not as good as Intel or AMD performance perspective.
And then,
may I say something about ARM here?
Please.
So, did you notice during the event, they've stopped talking about ARM as being advantageous in terms of battery life.
Battery life.
Power.
Right. It did quote 19 hours battery life, though.
Which is just a pure lie. Pure lie. Eight at most.
Okay.
You will see.
I will say, in the Intel world, if you see big battery life like that, you can have it or maybe even third it, and that's closer to real world. That's video
Same
rundown nonsense.
Okay. Same with ARM.
No, that's what it is. That's what it is.
Yeah. But the thing they're talking about more and more with ARM is they keep talking about AI. So I wonder if they're going to start pushing the reason that you would want an ARM PC as you can do more with AI and stop talking about battery life and power because those things aren't really advantageous on Windows on ARM.
So the ARM chip has the NPU. That's the SQ3 part. That's the Microsoft part, not the Intel chip. I'm very tempted. The Surface Pro 9 with ARM. Okay.
There is absolutely no reason that the Intel version of this couldn't have a 5G chipset in it. It doesn't. And it's like this bogus
neural
differentiator.
Can it have an MPU?
What about it?
And then the other thing I was really thought was very interesting is they're adding DALL-E to artificial intelligence art generation to Designer, which you still have to.
What does that have to do with Surface, though?
Okay, well, it's just there and Bing. Okay, I mean, it's great. Nothing to do with Surface, but okay, that's pretty cool.
No, let's talk about the hardware first.
Okay, hardware first.
Yeah, let's get the hardware out of the way. Because each one of these things has a problem.
Okay.
They all have the same problem, which is that they're the same exact design as before.
The carpeted Surface Laptop 5.
Yep, they're exactly
sage
the same.
Green.
You know, Windows, or Surface Pro 9 was designed for Windows 11. Was it? Because it's the same design as last time, and that time it was designed for Windows 10.
They did say that everybody wants 22H2. That's what they're hearing.
Okay.
Everybody wants it.
We can talk about that in a little while. Actually, we will
Let's talk about hardware. All right.
But that's fair. You know, that's
Surface Studio 2 Plus, which we saw in the FCC picture, is exactly like
11th gen Intel chips, not latest gen. Are you kidding me?
Quad core. Quad core.
Are you kidding me? How many cores does an H series 12th gen chipset have now?
16.
Something like that?
Quad core is like what's in my Synology.
Yeah, this is like, I'm still using a car with a carburetor in it. Like, what are you kidding me?
You want to tow it up?
It's 2022.
At least it has a terabyte hard drive, 32 gigs of RAM. I mean, at least it has that, right? I presume it has an SSD because the old one had a spinning drive. We had to replace
that. That's right. I remember Padre replaced it with an SSD. Yeah. So Surface Laptop 5, they dropped AMD.
Yeah, no AMD.
It didn't say why.
Didn't even mention it.
Why, right?
And here's the other thing. So, Surface Laptop 5, Intel chipset, doesn't support Pluton.
What?
The Microsoft security chipset. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because Intel doesn't support it. Intel thinks that chipset is superfluous. They already have enough technology in their chipsets to do security. They don't need Pluton. AMD, by the way, embraced it fully.
That's hysterical.
Would have had that in there.
This is a Microsoft technology, right, Pluton?
Yep. Yeah. In a Microsoft product, and it doesn't have it because Intel will not support it. That's why.
It's got the Evo chip, though. I heard them say Evo a couple of few times.
Well, Evo's just a Evo's not a chip. Evo
it's
is
a marketing term.
Is a marketing qualification. It's
Okay. I wasn't going to get the laptop. Mary Jo, though, that's what you use, right? As a Surface. You like your Surface laptop.
Surface Laptop 3. Yeah. No, I'm not liking it anymore. It's having a lot of problems. Okay. And so, no, I would never get another Surface Laptop.
And that's the one we got for Micah, this Alcantara, the blue.
Yeah.
Ebis. Right.
By the way, I like Surface hardware. I don't want to lose sight of that. I recognize that people have had issues with them over the years. I've certainly have had some issues. But I like the, you know, Surface Laptop 5 is a laptop, but it's a nice laptop. It's a nice looking laptop. Surface Pro 9, Surface Pro whatever, is kind of the canonical, you know, tablet PC for the modern era for sure. It's
now with GoodNotes, which is very exciting to me.
I don't think most people need a tablet.
So no, that 2-in-1 form factor, I'm wondering. You know, they talk so much about how great the keyboard is on the laptop.
Well, they keep...
And it's like, well, you get a Pro and Surface, and now you'll have a...
Yeah, if you go back and watch that part of the presentation, they acted like this thing had come out brand new. It was like, we never had one of these before. Uh-huh. Nothing new. There's nothing new.
It's completely not exactly a redesign in any respect.
No, which is fine. It's a fine design. You know, the move from 12.5 or 12.3, I guess it was, to 13-inch is great. Bigger screen, everything. It's great. If you do need a pen or want a pen, it works great. I don't mind the keyboard cover thing. I know people talk about how bouncy it is. It's fine.
I love the pen hiding in the keyboard. I almost bought a Surface Pro X just for that. I like that.
Yep. Yeah, Surface Pro 8 had that as well, by the way. It's nice.
I like it.
But again, it's just more of the same. Like, this is just more of the same.
So talk me off the shelf. I was thinking of getting a Surface Pro 9 with the SQ3.
No, do not get anything ARM-based on Windows, ever.
No.
I'd have to use Windows on ARM, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. So my next hardware review is an HP Elite Dragonfly, which is unbelievable. It is the best typing experience I've ever had on a laptop.
Beautiful.
Ever.
Beautiful.
It's unbelievable. But the one after that is the ThinkPad, the X13? No, what's it called? It's the ARM one. So this is the one that is closest to what you're seeing in Surface today from a processing and compatibility perspective. And it is absolutely better. But remember, you know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, even Qualcomm was talking about how they were offering Core i5 levels of performance.
Yeah, desktop class. Was,
what generation Core i5 are we talking about? Right. Second? Because it's nowhere even close.
Right.
It can get close. But the problem is, you know, it depends on what apps you use. So if you use lots of Intel apps, you're going to have a problem. It's still not great.
Because those run an emulation.
And it's just not great.
Okay, so never mind.
I've been using x64 and in some cases x86 versions of Intel apps just to kind of see how that works. This will be in my review, but it's just not there. It just isn't there.
Yeah.
It depends. If you're all Office and you use Edge and that's kind of your whole experience, you'll probably be okay. But it's the same basic issue with ARM as remains. But why would you use it?
There's no reason for ARM right now. Until there's better ARM chips for PCs, there's no reason. There's no advantage, right, at all.
The reason ARM exists in the Windows world is because Microsoft begged Intel for years and years and years.
Yep.
Stop raising the performance and make something that makes sense on thin and light devices where you don't have to have a fan.
And Intel
they never came through with anything decent in that. They didn't.
There's a great story from yesterday's Mac Break Weekly. Apple all of a sudden dropped notebook, and they call it laptops again, which Microsoft has always done.
I saw that.
And so Jason O'Grady from the O'Grady Power Page, which is an ancient but still a viable Mac blog, said that's because the lawyers said you can't call it a laptop because the Intel chip is so damn hot it's burning people, so we need to call it a notebook.
Oh, I have a theory about why they changed from notebook to laptop.
The reason they changed from laptop to notebook
back in the day
is because that was when they were Intel laptops for Macintosh, and the Apple lawyers said
that's an awfully cynical.
Jason O'Grady said, I have it on. He says I heard it on very good authority. So
I thought like when I read that.
Don't you think the real reason would be more they didn't want to be compared number-wise to laptops?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
And that's why?
It's a notebook, But didn't PC makers adopt notebook as well, or no? Has it always been a laptop?
We have all different terms for things.
We do.
I remember having to retrain myself to call it a notebook. I do remember that. Yeah. That was a decade ago, probably. Yeah.
There are portable PCs, there are convertibles, there are notebooks, there are laptops, there are tablets, there are two-in-ones.
Yeah.
Netbooks.
Yep. Netbooks. Don't.
Most of them mean the same thing.
So
I believe.
I'm thinking, okay, you talked me out of the Surface Pro 9.
No, but
wait
let's
another
go.
Year.
This is, no, hold on. So I watched this presentation and I'm thinking to myself, what is the point of this product line? Like what is the point?
That is a good point.
And interestingly, Panay was, he had an interview with Axios. The Axios article they produced was not an interview. It just quoted him occasionally. It's kind of a strange thing. Yeah. But he came up with like three reasons why this product line exists. Like what role does it play? And I'm paraphrasing this, but basically these are crazy. To fill the gap between the Windows software and the PC hardware. Like, what? To fill the gap? What are you talking about? To inspire other PC makers, which is something we've talked about in the past, and to create high-end devices that compete well with the Mac. And my question here is, does it do any of that? First of all, whatever the gap is between software and hardware, there is almost nothing in a Surface device that isn't in any other PC. It's not like Microsoft is making Pixel and they're like, we're only going to have certain features on Surface. We're not giving them to everyone else. That would be suicide. They don't do that. So you just have
the OEMs rebel. They would be very upset.
Right. You might like the design of a Surface. You're rolling the dice, I think, on reliability, but that's your choice. Inspiring other PC makers. I would have, you know, aside from the initial Surface Pro device, I would say they have inspired them not to do what Microsoft is doing. It's the only thing they've inspired them. No one is copying their other devices. You know, there's nothing.
There were a few. You don't see, right?
No, for Pro. Yeah, for Pro, for sure. That's
it. Dell do something that was like a Surface Book? Am I misremembering that? Or somebody did.
I guess the point is No form factor they've made has ever turned into something other than Pro, the tablet. And then, you know, creating high-end devices that compete with the Mac. I'm sorry, have we never heard of ThinkPad X1? Have we never heard of EliteBook? Have we never heard of Spectre? Have we never heard of Dragonfly? Have we never heard of XPS 13? What are you talking about? So, you know, I guess I don't think they fulfill any of those goals. Yeah.
You know what's very weird that I've been noticing a lot? Because we have a lot of people at ZDNet who really love Surface. And I kept saying to them, mm-hmm. what do you like about it, right? And without an exception, they were all Apple users who liked it.
Right.
And so I'm like, there's something in a Surface that's very like familiar to Mac users, or they like that, like the way it's being constructed or the pitch for it. I don't know. There's something I think they are hitting that spot of like, we're going after the Mac users and we're getting there, right?
Are they? Because the Mac market share is at an all-time high. So
but their goal with that is, I see why they're doing that. And people who are real PC users like me, I don't think like Surfaces as much as Mac.
Surface
users.
Has never appeared on any market share chart made by any company ever in history. Not once. They don't register. They don't sell enough of these things. They don't. They almost don't exist.
I should point out that's the true also of the Google Pixel phones, that they are a laggard. Yes.
That's exactly right. That's exactly it. Yeah, exactly.
So why does Google make the Pixel same reason?
Because they see some value in first party hardware. They want to show what's possible when you do the full Google or Microsoft thing. But I just the difference between Android and Windows, honestly, is that most PC makers are already doing the full Windows thing. I mean, you see crapware, which is just a terrible byproduct of how bad that market is. But, you know, on Android, the biggest OEMs change the UI. They have their own services. They have their own apps. It's like their own thing. Like, you don't see HP making a word processor or, or an email app or something like that. It's really not the same situation. I don't know that Surface fulfills the need. And honestly, you got to remember, what was the original point of this thing? It was none of those things he said. It was, we think the world is going touch. Apple is killing us. We have super Apple envy. iPhone is everything. They just released the iPad. We need to answer that. And they came up with Surface Pro.
It still looks like that. That Surface laptop is a dead ringer for the MacBook Air. I mean, it's a dead ringer.
If Surface had been successful as a product line the way they intended, the thing that would have been successful would have been that RT version, the one that was most like an iPad. That was what they thought was going to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They made a ton of them, and it took a huge write down.
I still have
mine.
They
had no idea what they were doing.
Yeah.
Don't you think they think the Surface Go now is the iPad competitor, right?
Is it though?
I think that's what they think. Yeah. I think that's what they think.
So it's just Apple envy? I mean, is that why they're doing ARM too?
Heavily Apple envy. They're doing ARM
because of the Intel problem.
Yeah.
They've been doing ARM. Do you guys remember that? Long ARM. It's like that's 10 years ago when they were trying to do Windows on ARM.
Well, Microsoft has decades of experience with mobile devices. They saw ARM as it evolved from the 90s to the 2000s, et cetera. And, you know, in the beginning, one of the big issues was just performance and compute capability. That's obviously been solved. But the one thing those devices always had was these things were designed from the get-go to be instant on mobile, really long battery life, often days or weeks compared to a PC, a completely different kind of device. And they want that for PCs. They want that level of uptime. They want that level of reliability. You know, they want that instant on capability. And so they kind of retrofit it to Intel computers, and it works sometimes, but Intel has never answered this call. Intel, I think, finally saw the writing on the wall, hired Pat Gelsinger. They're doing this hybrid chipset approach, right? And the first version is kind of mets, but they're getting there. And I think the ultimate goal, I think where we're going to stand at the end is Intel will look a lot more like ARM than it does you know, to its original
stuff. I think that's true, actually.
Yeah. And we'll see. We'll see which one wins out. But like Mary Jo said, the more you add these capabilities and performance and blah, blah, blah to ARM, the more it starts to look like Intel. And in the end, it's like, so we have these things. Maybe let's pretend they perform the same. Battery life is the same. Compatibility is like, it's not quite there on ARM. You know, a couple little issues. Why would I buy the thing that's not quite there? Why not just buy the thing that always works?
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I just, every time there's a Surface event, I have this major crisis of confidence. Like, I don't understand what they're doing. And when they deliver, when this is like treading water, you know, they deliver these like kind of, not kind of, like, yeah. Apple is often criticized for, oh, another iPhone. Look, it looks exactly like the other iPhone. Mm-hmm. Apple looks aggressive compared to Surface. Surface, like, it's not like every year there's a new, every Surface gets revved. Like, every year some of them get revved. And then sometimes 6 months later, one of them gets revved. And then 6 months later, oh, there's a few other ones. And there's no sense of planning or strategy or coherence or anything. It's just, you never know what you're going to get. Are all the Surfaces on the latest Intel, AMD / Qualcomm chip? No, they're not. Yeah. They're not, because they never, they just don't.
I think part of the reason they're not is they can't get the parts, right? Like, because you, yeah, as you said, they're not among the top laptop vendors. You get in a line for chips, right? Like, they, the ones who make the most get them first.
So I guess the question to a consumer,
even Tom Brady doesn't like the Surface. Yes.
Well, he would have done that if it was an iPad too.
No, but he got a big fine for doing that, I believe.
Sure. I you know, when you spend money on a product that you intend to use for some number of years, you got to make a decision, you know, and do you trust Surface? I cannot, based on my experience with these products, recommend this to anybody. I can't. Yeah. As much as I like the design, as much as I like the looks or whatever, I like them. I really do.
They're pretty.
But then it's, oh, should I buy
one? They're
not
special. Like, yeah. What do you, Mary Jo, what are you having trouble with your Surface?
So last November is when my motherboard died and I had to have it replaced because it was 1 month out of warranty. Yeah. So that cost me $400, right? And then I had to buy a guarantee plan because the guy's like, I don't know how long this is going to hold, to be honest. And now I'm having all kinds of sleep issues with it. And I've had some Intel driver issues with it. And I'm like, you know what? I've had a lot of PCs in my time writing about Microsoft. And this is the first time I've had a PC that just is dying. And usually they last forever for me. And I'm like, oh, maybe I should upgrade it. I don't know. It's been 5 years or 6 years. This is like 3 years. And I'm like very worried about this lasting much longer.
Paul and I kind of had similar experiences, right? Yeah. Paul, with this, we had that Surface Studio laptop, which never worked.
Right.
Lisa had a Surface laptop for about 5 minutes. Yeah. You know what? I think I share your feelings.
I feel like I'm technical enough to kind of deal with it. It's not something I would let my wife use. I wouldn't recommend it to family members or friends. And you kind of have to have this little talk, like, you know, people are into tech, people watching this podcast. It's like, okay, you're technical. You're a Microsoft guy. Like, I get it, you know? But
there's so many better options, right? Like all these great HPs, these Dells. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of choice.
That's the real strength of the PC ecosystem.
It is.
Huge choice.
Yeah.
Right. And there's something for everyone. And I suppose, you know, I mean, Alex Gumpel loves his Surfaces. We kept buying him Surfaces. So yeah.
Microsoft is not going to bog down a Surface PC with crapware like HP will in some cases.
True.
Yeah.
That said, the HP is in every way, other way, superior. You know, so I guess it's up to you, you know, to decide what's important. But I still, you know, we'll see. It's one of those things. We got to every gen, you know, we'll see what happens. This was just particularly underwhelming. And I think it's also kind of telling that they released these three products that are exactly the same as their predecessors. And then they announced these kind of little peripherals. And it's like, oh, that's kind of interesting. You know, not that we can't get this stuff from anywhere, right? Yeah. But these kind of hybrid work devices, gadgets mostly, those are kind of cool. You know, like, I think the stuff they're doing with the adaptive accessories is amazing, frankly. Cool. I think that's cool.
Yeah, bravo for that. I thought that was great.
But you know what? Yeah. That's the legacy of Microsoft hardware, right? They didn't make PCs. They made this stuff. They made keyboards, software, which, by the way, I use a Microsoft keyboard and mouse. Love it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, they're fantastic. They used to make webcams. I don't know if they still do. They should. Mm-hmm. Not. Whatever. So
what about the webcam and the sound demo? I thought that really looked good. I thought the webcam with the NPU, you know, the hair dryer and the leaf blower.
But the So the webcam was nothing special compared to what's out in the world. So HP, Dell, Lenovo, all have all that stuff. They, you know, that Stevie, to his credit, guy with really curly hair, was like, I'm going to blur my background. That's going to be worst case scenario. And you could tell, you know, he had that halo around him because you just can't yeah. avoid that. But yeah, I give him credit for being honest about that.
Yeah, it looked pretty good.
I thought the leak blower demo was a video that I saw that I can't trust.
Right.
So we'll see.
It didn't seem like it was really good. Like, wow.
Yep. A little too good. You know, I guess we'll see. Yeah. Not going to be doing a web presentation in front of a guy with a leaf blower, but yeah, okay.
But you might do it in a restaurant or coffee shop.
Or an apartment where they're doing construction above, like my house.
Okay, so I sit through a lot of presentations from PC makers, and when they talk, the past 2 years has all been hybrid work, you know, it's all they talk about. So all the webcams are now 1080p or 4K, or not 4K, they're 1080p or better, 5 megapixel, whatever it is. They have all this AI stuff to do background noise, blah, blah, and it's always like stuff like barking dog, lawn equipment outside. They'll do a thing where they crunch a bag of potato chips and talk while they're doing it. You can hear them talking, but you can't hear the potato chips. It's just like, it's more real world. Not like, hey, I'm standing 5 feet in front of a leaf blower. Listen to that thing. It's sort of like, optimizing a chipset for a benchmark. And it's like, but that's not how people work. Like, so maybe it was fantastic, but I just don't, that's not a real world situation. I don't know. We all have, everyone probably has used like noise canceling headphones, and you do, you know, they kind of suck on and it's like, and the sound just kind of disappears around you. It's wonderful. If you're on a plane, it's wonderful. I used to wear Bose over the air headphones when I mowed the lawn, for example, but even that couldn't actually get rid of all really that wild noise.
Right.
I guess there are real world scenarios. And then there are things where it's like, I'm standing in front of a jet engine running full blast and you can still hear me. It's like, why are you standing in front of a jet engine? Nobody has meetings like that. What are you talking about? So yes, I'm sure it's good. I don't know. I just don't see anything I haven't seen from other PC makers. And by the way, I kind of don't want to see anything like that from Microsoft because, like you said, I think the strength of the PC ecosystem is the diversity. And I don't want Microsoft to take their best tech and not give it to everybody. Mm. You know, I want it to be on Dell and HP and Lenovo. I don't want.
And they do. And they do. Right. People. They don't. You just said they don't.
Yeah. Today. But today. Yeah. But this is the worry now. It's like, so wait, we're going to have like we're going to have Surface specific features now, because then it gets kind of like, what are you doing? Like, what is this? Shouldn't that just be part of Windows?
That was always the contention. In fact, that's why those Windows Secrets books existed, because there was always people said, oh, there's the secret APIs that only Microsoft has access to. And that made people very angry. I don't know if it was true, but they do that.
There are secret Windows APIs, and Microsoft isn't the only one that knows about them. But the danger there is sometimes they disappear.
Right.
And then you'll have a product like this has happened to Starduck, I think, where you have products that rely on these APIs, and then a new version of Windows 11 or whatever comes out. And it's like, hey, we've been using for 15 years.
If they don't reveal it, they don't guarantee it. You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Sure. Anyway, the secret API thing is true. What's the point? I don't know. I didn't see anything that would make me want to.
All right. You've talked me down.
Other than my normal, I liked Surface Laptop. Like, I liked the design of it. And I, you know, Mary Jo just twitched because she's had such a bad experience with Surface Laptop.
Yeah. No,
but that's a one off. I mean, not everybody's having motherboard failures. I mean,
I loved it. I was so excited. They finally made something that was lappable. Mm-hmm. I gave it a great review when I did one of my non reviewer reviews. And I was just really disappointed that it hasn't held up as even on the bottom, one of the little feet came off the other day. And I'm like, why? Like, I'm not being rough on this thing. Like, it's mostly just sitting on my desk, right? Like,
all right, let me take that break, and then I do want to talk about the cloud and Apple. And designer.
Oh, yes.
We'll talk about all that in just a little bit. Windows Weekly on the air, Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Hover. Paul, have you registered a domain name, a kind of a fun domain name recently?
Recently?
Yeah. I mean, you'd
have some awesome. I had some in the past. My favorite was Body by Chardonnay.
That's a website I want to go to.
Call of Duty was one.
Call of Duty. I love it. So yeah. This is one of the things geeks do, right? We get an idea. We go, oh, and you go to hover.com and you register the domain. And I'll tell you why I go to hover.com. Because it's fast. There's no upsell. It's just like, boom, 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 boom. They've got a great DNS set up. If you're an expert, if they have a one button connects, if you're not. And I have to say, one of the main reasons I would say go to hover.com is so that you don't get stuck at any given email provider, right? I think people often use their ISP for email. Bad idea. Because then you've locked into that ISP. What if you decide, there's a better ISP? Or even using Gmail. I get so many calls from people using AOL Mail. Every single time I go, okay, that was a good idea in 1995. It's time to move on. One of the best reasons to register your own domain name is for email. Sure, it's great if you've got a blog, bodybychardonnay.com. I love it. Maybe you're creating a portfolio, building an online store. You're looking for work and you just want to make a really memorable hireleo.com. Redirect to the LinkedIn page. That's completely legit. But I have to say, if you're using email, especially if you're using it for a business, you really need a custom domain name. And this is where Hover is fantastic. Actually, even for a family, I don't want to say it out loud because I don't want to get a lot of spam, but I have a family name email that everybody in the family uses. I think that's a really great reason to get a domain name. And connecting it to email at hover.com is great because it's easy to set up. You can have as many mailboxes as you need. When your domain renews every year, your mailbox will also, all of them will also renew. Their most popular mailbox, very affordable, no-brainer for business owners. And you can still, if you want, have webmail. They have a great webmail interface. It'll work with all your apps. So if you're using Outlook or whatever, it works just fine with those. But it's your custom domain name, joesdonuts.com. And by the way, not just .com. You could have joes.pizza. How about that? You could have, look at some of the domain names at Hover. They have hundreds of really great TLDs, including, by the way, .email, which I use. And Hover is nice. They don't upsell you. You go to some of these other domain registrars, and they're 15 pages before you own the domain name. You want this? You want that? How'd you like some fries with that? We could do this. No. Hover knows, for instance, that you want Whois domain privacy. Of course you do. So they just build it in. They don't ask you. It's just part of the deal. And that's really important because I think it's really good to make it automatic because I think a lot of people don't realize that when you register a domain name, the address, the phone number that you register with it is now public record. So you got to get Whois privacy. Hover just builds it in, protects you from spam, unwanted solicitations. I mentioned the Hover Connect, which makes it very easy to match your domain to your WordPress or your Squarespace or your Shopify or whatever other stuff you've got. And this is important, too, when it comes to email at Hover. And, this is not true of any free email solution. At Hover, you're a customer. You're not the product, right? You're not the source of data. If you're using free email, there's a reason it's free. Take back control of your data with reliable, tracker-free email. Hover's trusted by hundreds of thousands of customers who use Hover domain names and email to turn their ideas into reality. Whether you're a developer, a photographer, a small business, Hover has something for you to expand your projects, to get the visibility you want. And it's just it's kind of a geeky hobby. I have by now 100 domain names at Hover. Crazy stuff. I don't have anything as good as Body by Chardonnay. That's exceptional. Paul of Duty, I like that too. Go to hover.com/twit. Get 10% off your first purchase of any domain extension for the entire first year. 10% off Hover, hover.com/twit. Love Hover. We've been with these guys for so long. We love you. Thank you, Hover, for supporting Windows Weekly. And thank you, Windows Weekly dozers and winners, for supporting us by using that address.
You've heard of Rick Steves, right?
In Europe
Through the
Love
back door.
Rick Steves. Yeah, yeah.
So we had a domain called Europe Through the Front Door. It was going to be like a home swap plug.
Great.
But then the pandemic killed that, so we let that one lapse.
But what do you use for your Mexico journeys? Awake, what is it?
Eternal Spring.
Eternal Spring. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
That's your YouTube handle. Now, by the way,
yeah,
you can be at Eternal Spring on YouTube, which is great.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We got to try to get that, obviously.
Obviously. So, I was very surprised at how much time Microsoft spent saying, and we work with iCloud Photos.
I know.
That was bizarre. Is that, do you think the market's demanding that, or they get some money from Apple, or what? What's the deal?
Well, this was interesting because they didn't really explain how these things happen that they announced around Apple. But there is somebody who works in the ISV organization at Microsoft who I quote in my story about this. And he said, excited about our partnership with Apple. So something has changed in the Microsoft and Apple partnership.
They didn't like say, oh, and now Apple has written Windows version of iCloud, or Apple has written Apple TV Plus, but obviously it must have come from Apple, right?
Yeah.
And well, the Apple.
As of today, if you're a dev Windows dev channel insider, you can check out the new update to the Photos app that has the integration with the iCloud Photos. So this lets you look at your iPhone photos right inside of OneDrive.
Are you surprised they didn't do that with Amazon, given their relationship with the Amazon store? I mean,
but you know what? No, who uses Amazon?
Yeah,
for that? I know some people do, but like,
and they don't really like Google, right? They don't want to use the Google Photos.
No.
Yeah,
I mean,
hold on.
They're doing a lot with Amazon.
They would love to use Google Photos. I think Google just won't do it.
No, and they're already doing stuff with Android, but not the way Google wants them to, right? So,
well, okay,
there are so many people. There are so many people at Microsoft and everywhere in the world who use Apple phones and not Android phones. So this is, you know, Microsoft Phone Link doesn't really work that well with iPhones. It almost doesn't work at all, right? So this is a way that they're starting to find.
It doesn't work with Pixel phones. It works with Samsung. That's what it works with.
I know, it works with Samsung and the Surface Duo really well.
Yeah.
And other than that, no. So
Apple's always said that. They said that with iTunes. I mean, Steve Jobs didn't want to put iTunes on Windows, but somebody told Steve, look, most of the people buying iPods use Windows.
Yeah.
Most of the people by far who buy iPhones use Windows. You got to live there.
It's
know?
I mean, it's probably still true today, although I think the percentages have shifted a lot. But when Apple moved off of iTunes into Apple Music and whatever else, you know, the apps, and they did that first on mobile and then they did it on the Mac, you know, the question was, well, okay, but what about Windows? And I don't know if you've used iTunes recently. It's unbelievably terrible.
Oh, it was always terrible, especially
Windows.
But
today
it wasn't so great on
you
Mac
would think
either.
We have such amazing processors and everything. You think, okay, well, maybe no, it is a garbage application. So this Apple Music thing is long overdue. We've been expecting this for years. Apple TV is kind of a more recent phenomena. There is a web app. So, I mean, that works okay if you just want to watch the, you know, whatever content. But yeah, iCloud's integration in Photos, awesome. And Amazon should be in there too. And so should Google Photos. I don't, maybe these companies could get it together. I think Google Photos is the biggest one. And I would love to see that.
I'd love to see both. I mean, I put Google Photos on my iPhones. I use Apple iCloud Photos and Google Photos.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Why not?
That's a sensible thing. Maybe half I think this is Amazon too.
I think this all comes from Google. Google has a deep-seated distrust of Microsoft that is no longer rational. It's just bizarre. No, it really isn't. It makes no sense. This is the most docile company on earth. Look at the Surface devices they just released.
No, but look in the cloud, though. Like Google Cloud, they're like in hot pursuit of Azure. If you look at what they announced at their show this week with the Google Cloud, it's almost an exact replica of what Microsoft is.
So you feel like they're a competitor. I mean, Microsoft is so much bigger than Google.
They are.
It
has nothing to do with putting your consumer Surface service on a Windows PC. Like, what's the difference? Who cares?
And you know, Amazon Web Services.
And then they partner.
is a much bigger competitor to Microsoft Azure, and they do, and they work.
I think Google is irrationally afraid of Microsoft. They're so distrustful of Microsoft. I think it's hardwired into there.
Let's face it.
Google's the two have had a very cantankerous past.
Yeah, Gmail man. Remember that?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Oh, fondly. But
Paul,
those are the gravy years.
No, you know what? I think the reason they played up this iCloud Photos thing so much was they had no surprises at the Surface event except for these Apple announcements. Right. Those were literally the only surprises.
Which is sad. That's really sad.
It is sad. Sad enough that So Apple is rumored to be shipping a bunch of new devices this month. And we'll see what happens, but there's only 2 weeks left. Apple probably won't have an event because they just don't warrant an event.
Right.
So they'll upgrade whatever it is, the iPad Pro, whatever they're doing.
They'll probably do the same thing that Microsoft has done, except without saying we're going to have a Surface event. They'll say they won't say we're going to have
the event. They're
just going to release that 1 hour, or in this case, 38-minute video.
Put a video on YouTube, for each one, and that's it.
I thought they would have an event. I thought, boy, you're really missing an opportunity to get everybody's attention. But everybody at MacBreak Weekly, everybody said, no, Leo. They're just Mark Gurman. They're just going to. And what they do, and they've done this before, they put out, some videos. But more importantly, they give Marques Brownlee and Justina Zarek and, all these influencers on YouTube, they give them the hardware. And they say, okay, on Thursday the 24th, or Monday the 24th at 12 noon, you can release your reviews. And that's going to get a ton of attention. And I think Apple.
Microsoft should do this. Well, I mean, Microsoft does do the same, but they could skip the event. For something like this, skip the event.
It's so obvious the embargo was.
Their holiday event. That's what they consider it.
It's so funny because the embargo was 7 a.m. my time today. Yeah. So before the event begins, right at the point, Engadget, The Verge, everybody, 30 articles, all the prices,
too. Everybody,
you guys too, everybody, 7 a.m. So the event was completely superfluous.
Yeah, the way these embargoes are done with these things, it's just got to change because I feel like this just does not work, right? Okay, drop a million stories all at once, everybody at the same time, and what good is this, right?
Oh, wait a minute. Guess who has the new Surface Studio?
Who? Hi, Justine. Does she use Windows? Her name's Justine. Come on,
Look at here. She's in a Microsoft store.
I am so excited.
Yeah, they love her.
Oh, she does. At this point, and I love Justine. I have to think she gets paid for this stuff. I don't.
Or Microsoft wants Apple influencers to be Surface influencers, right?
Yeah. Yeah. She's got a podcast with Panos Panay.
Right.
They may not actually pay her to do this. They probably don't.
Make this stop.
I turned off.
Please make this stop.
Hey, there's your friend.
Sponsorship opportunities, right? Hey, we'll put something on your site.
Well, I would think that if she's
this is who I go to learn about Windows updates.
Wouldn't it have to say,
"Oh my God,"
ad or something like that? If she's getting paid to do it, wouldn't
you
it
would
to,
assume have that to be. She would have to do that disclaimer? Although there are a lot of sites that don't do this.
Oh, I know.
This other girl's like, "Who is this company again?"
That's her sister. That's Jenna. She's great.
Hi, Jenna.
Okay, let's move on from this place.
Okay. Wait a minute. No, this is cool. Look, see? We got Chris Capicella, but they get Panos Panay.
I'll never get Panos.
I was wondering where my headphones went. Now I know. So they've got them. Okay. So we won't get Panos? You think he takes it to heart when Paul says mean things?
Yep, I do.
I think we're not influencers.
I know he does. Let's put it that way. I'm positive he does. He does.
So,
yeah, I know it kills me because, for the first, I would say 10 years of podcasting, maybe 5 years of podcasting, it was the bloggers that got all the attention, got the invitations.
Yep. Yeah. Oh yeah.
And then they skipped podcasting entirely and jumped to YouTube. It's wait, hey, don't I get what? Hello. No,
I know.
Skip right over podcasting. I think we're pretty influential. I mean, honestly, but
But we're not, like, they look for Apple influencers, right?
Influencers.
To review the...
Well, I don't think it's just that's... Apple. I think they look for influencers.
No, but heavily, heavily, right?
Well, I mean, Justine also does stuff for Samsung.
Listen,
I feel this is
not a new strategy. When they launched the Zune, and what year was that?
Yeah.
2006
or
something?
Yeah, that was the same thing, right?
Yep. They skipped over the tech press and went right to Playboy magazine and whatever. It was like all this, like, they wanted to go mainstream. They're like, we want this to be popular, you know, with normal people, not with you guys.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Here at Microsoft.com, iJustine's top picks for back to school.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, the thing that's amazing about Justine is she does that and it doesn't hurt her reputation in the Apple world at all.
It should. Mm-hmm. It really should.
It's weird.
Yeah. Yep.
And I love her. I mean, I know her well and she's a great person. And, you know, it's hard to make a living, you know, as a YouTuber.
You do what you got to do.
But you'd think that at some point people would say, well, what is it? Are you excited about the Surface Precision mouse? is that your new jam or what?
Yeah.
And you
or
know,
it's really just the Apple stuff like we know it is really.
Right now, she's definitely got the new Apple laptops and, you know, the new iMacs or whatever, the Mac minis. And she's recording videos for those coming out next week.
Now, I remember when Duo 1 came out. They only sent it to like 50 people, and I was one of them, and I was so surprised. I'm like, why did they send this to me?
Yeah, because you're not tame.
And then I found out later, no, it was because I had an Android phone, and I used Windows, and they knew that, right? They're like, so you're going to be able to pick up the Duo really easily.
I have a Windows PC and an Android phone. They didn't send me one, so because they knew I would have been honest about it.
Well, I was very honest about it.
I mean, obviously you're honest about it. I mean, I would have been very critical of it. There's no doubt about it.
I was pretty critical. Like, I think everybody who got one was like, the hardware is really beautiful and the experience is really terrible. And I think it kind of, everybody who got one kind of said that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you never know how they're thinking or why they're thinking, because that one was like, that caught me very much by surprise, because I'm like, oh, they're going to give it to all the usual, you know, younger.
I think they wanted to shoot for non-technical people. And, I think that was part of it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because, you know, I'm going to get too caught up in the dual screens don't make sense where you're like, I don't know, I'll give it a chance, you know.
I did. And, I used it like a lot and really tried to give it a chance. I did.
Sure. Yeah, I just think you have to do both. I don't think. You know, going to, after influencers who, by the way, are just flavor of the second and going to move on to the next big thing. And Microsoft is never the next big thing for these people.
No,
It's not necessarily the best approach because they're going to be all over the map and on different stuff. Yeah. And if you think these people care at all about Microsoft products, you don't understand them at all.
Yeah.
So they get the little photo op, or they get the, you know, it's just, it's sad, frankly.
I do note that they did not seed Marques Brownlee with it, or maybe they did, but he's still on the Pixel. He's made like an Android, mostly known as an Android guy, though, right? So, and he's technical. So maybe they feel like that, no, we want to go with the creator types for these. Mm-hmm.
Mm, maybe. But on a more upbeat note, Leo, your favorite topic is coming up on the next agenda.
Designer?
Yes.
So I thought that was really interesting. It wasn't just designer is going to use DALL-E 2, and you can have misshapen cakes in your cake bakery shop invitation. Yep. But also in Bing search? Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know how Bing already lets you do image search. So this idea they have is this tool called Image Creator using DALL-E 2. And so you can type a description of some image you're looking for with context, and Image Creator will build it or find it, right? So pretty interesting also. Then they have the template site, which is create.microsoft.com. A lot of this had leaked also thanks to The Walking Cat before today's announcement. I signed up to get on the preview list, and so I got a note saying, you're on the list for the preview. So anybody can sign up. Go to designer.microsoft.com, and you can sign up if you want to try out the web the free web-based preview when it's available. Yeah,
Does the Bing thing work yet, or is that down the road?
No, that's coming next year. Image
I love that.
Is next year.
I think that's really. It's too bad it's not now though, because this is the crest of the wave right now of AI art. By next year, it'll be something else.
I'm wrong. They will make available soon, in quotes, a limited preview of Image Creator for select geographies. So the preview of it will be out sooner rather than.
Do you guys have designer invites? I signed up, but I can't.
I just got a. I'm on the wait list.
Yeah. Me too. I'm on the wait list. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you know what Canva is, this is that basically.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. We just talked about Canva because Adobe bought Figma and has their own Adobe Creative Cloud, whatever it's called, the basic version. Mm-hmm. And this is big right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much did Adobe pay for Figma?
A lot.
$20 billion. So not that Microsoft's half trying to sell designer, but.
Or two-thirds in Activision.
Yeah.
It was funny this week, or I think I saw somewhere the head of Canva saying, "We're going after Microsoft." I'm like, "Guys, they are going after you, so get ready." He's like, "We want to be Microsoft or be the next Microsoft." I'm like, "Yeah, well, this is a small product for Microsoft, and this is your whole business, so it's going to be challenging for you." But good luck.
Yeah. But designer looks
really
good.
Nice. Yeah, the integration with DALL-E makes it much more interesting. You know what this reminded me of? Sway in some ways, right?
Yeah.
Like they're trying to make design easier than PowerPoint for normal people who are not designers. And you can just type in like, make a beautiful forest with a queen and like it'll bring you, give you a choice of images, right? This is what I need because I am not creative. I don't know how to use PowerPoint very well. And I'm like, yes, this is exactly what I need. So yeah, it's cool. And it's the same designer that's in PowerPoint Designer. Like on the back end, it's that same technology, right? So if you've ever used PowerPoint Designer, it's taking that technology, which they say is AI technology, and they're applying it now to a separate app. So interesting.
Good.
What do you think the time frame is for the public release of that?
Thought they said next year, but maybe I'm wrong on that. They may not have said a time frame for that.
Lots of previews today.
Yeah, a lot of previews. Yep.
Remember they had two ignites in 1 year for some reason?
Yeah.
I think they've given up on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Is there any news about Windows 11? Is there anything to say?
Yes, I wanted to share something. Actually, I wanted to share a few some things. First of all, I think it was maybe even 3 weeks ago. Whenever 22H2 had first come out, I looked at a bunch of the review laptops I have, and I kind of gave a little report on which got it, which didn't, what happened. Since then, Microsoft last week expanded the availability of 22H2, and now all but one of those laptops has received it.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of interesting. And the one that didn't receive it saw what I wanted to see, which is, hey, Windows 11 is coming. You're not getting it yet, but it is coming. So there you go. That's that's how this should have worked from day one. So that's great. Mm-hmm. The other thing is there's two more things. So there's some confusion around the new features that are coming in October/November, right? So yesterday, Microsoft released a cumulative update as part of Patch Tuesday for Windows 11 22H2. Neowen actually wrote a story and said, hey, this enables those new features. No, it doesn't. And I don't know where that came from. It does not. This cumulative update updates the build number to 22.621.674, I think, or 5. I've installed it now on 4 different computers. It doesn't do anything with the new features. But Microsoft announced how they were going to deliver these new features. And they, it was, in a footnote almost, but in the C week update, which is next week, there'll be a preview version of the update. So if you go and seek it and find it, you can install it. That will give you access to those new features. But then the public, normal version will come out in November. So
Patch Tuesday.
That's on Patch Tuesday. Right. On the normal B week Patch Tuesday. Exactly. So yeah, I was really surprised to see this. The guy who writes our news now, Laurent, texted me. So we had a a long spastic exchange, spastic on my part, because I have so many different computers and I wanted to try, you know, I tried installing this update on so many different computers and it's, no, it's not there. The third one was, this is classic. So one of the other things that came up when 22H2 came out was like, what's the build number, right?
Right.
If you get for most people, that's normally, you upgrade, you get 22H2, you look at the build number, it should say, not anymore, but before yesterday, would say 22.621.521, right? That was the build number most people were seeing. I said at the time, I was actually seeing three different build numbers. It's not up there anymore, but I carted out an old HP, not an old, like 2-year-old HP, and it was on, I blew it away, but it was on a fourth build number, which was 22.621. I'm forgetting now, 474, I think was the number.
Yeah.
Never in the insider program. I have no idea why. I blew this thing away. I installed a fresh copy of what should have been 521. And when it came through and went, you know, you sign in for the first time, check the build number, it was 674. Because during the process, it says checking for updates. I bet it installed that CU during the setup.
Forget that one. Let's get you a new one.
If there is a lesson to be learned from this, it is do not be like me and obsess over this stuff because it honestly doesn't matter. No. But 22.621.anything, you're on 22H2. So just don't worry about it. Right. If you want the tabs and, you know, whatever other new features are coming, there are tools out there. Vive tool is one that will enable them. Just wait a week. Next Tuesday, you're going to be able to get it.
They did show all of that, didn't they? At the
event. You'll get it. Yeah.
I have 22.623.741.
741. Oh, good. Oh, no. You're still in some weird insider thing somehow.
I know.
I think you're seeing a bug. Now, that said, that might be the build number of the thing that comes out Tuesday and in November. So maybe you're on the, you know, 22H2 ain't done till the October update ships kind of thing. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, because I can
only guess.
They still haven't slammed the window.
I know. Well, remember, 22H2 is technically not all there yet.
Yeah, right.
I know.
Yep. Technically.
Crazy. I know. I'm so sorry even talking about this. It can't make sense to anyone listening to this. It can't.
I am still
It doesn't
queued,
make sense as it's coming out of my mouth.
Queued for unenrollment is my...
Sure.
That's going to be my tombstone.
Yep. Queued for unenrollment.
Queued for unenrollment.
Your unenrollment has been accepted.
Also, yep. The other thing we know nothing about still is where is Windows 10 22H2? No word.
Right.
I'm guessing next week, if they follow the path they did with Windows 11 22H2, it'll be the week after Patch Tuesday. So it might be next Tuesday, but they have said nothing. All they've said is October. That's it.
Mary Jo, they'll let you know when you need to know.
Exactly. It's a need to know basis. And I guess we don't need to know.
You've been kind of weird about it.
We don't know the list of features in it. We can't even tell you what's in it. We can't tell you anything. So sorry. They just are not talking about Windows 10.
It's not going to be big stuff. It's not going to be big.
No, it's going to be small. It's going to be one of those enablement packages. We know that, right? And it's going to be a very small update. So if you're already on Windows 10 21H2, you'll get it as an enablement package, right?
God help me for asking this question, but could you tell me your build number again?
Okay, let me do WinVer.
I think he gets it from Patch Tuesday,
I can show you.
I'm nervous about it because, let me just see what it says.
It says, well, it's so tiny, you probably can't read it. 22623.741. 623.
So 623 is a beta channel.
Yeah.
Build.
Yeah, because I'm queued for unenrollment.
You're never going to be unenrolled because beta doesn't equate to any version of Windows.
Oh. Right. Yeah, this says installed in June. It's your fault, Paul.
So So I feel like we might have had this conversation, but I'm just going to throw this out as a bit of speculation because we just don't know. They won't talk about this.
Yeah.
If you're in the release preview right now, you will eventually be able to unenroll automatically because that thing will come out as the October update, right? That's going to happen.
Right.
The thing you have is 22.623.
The thing I have.
This is a beta channel, but it's the split. You know, remember there's two parts. There's 7.23 means you're getting the new features. So you should see tabs.
Okay.
In File Explorer.
Let me open File Explorer. Yeah. And
you
then
see tabs. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I do. Look. So oh, my God.
New features.
I got tabs. Okay. Oh.
So that makes sense.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
At no point does the beta channel turn into a version of Windows.
Right. So I'll never
it's
be.
Unclear how you're going to be able to unroll.
I can't unroll.
My guess is that sometime after this October/November update comes out, they will provide a window for people to make this shift, because otherwise you'll never be unenrolled. Right?
Yeah.
Because the beta channel is not a version of Windows.
Yeah.
It's one of the, this is a weird, so this is a problem. This is a big problem in ARM, because there's no way out. Like if you take an ARM PC, put it in the beta channel or the dev channel, you can never come back. There's no way, there are no ISOs for ARM PCs. Like there's no,
so
no,
far.
No legal, yeah. No easy, right. Normal, you know, whatever. I mean,
wasn't there a promise of this? I kind of thought we might see that right. At Ignite. I thought in
but it's
summer,
a,
didn't they say this?
but it doesn't exist. So it's a one-way dead end street, right? So
right.
Now, because of the way the beta and Jeb channels work, those are also one-way dead end streets. Now, the nice thing is you can just download the ISO, make a disk or whatever, and you know, you can install it easily. So if you want to get out of it, you can. But then again, see, the thing is, you have a Dell computer.
Yeah.
Probably has some Dell stuff on it.
Yeah.
It's not 100% guaranteed that if you do like a clean install with a downloaded Microsoft ISO, you're going to get all this stuff back.
I'm just going to live here.
You want a way out of this. You want to, well, you're kind of stuck. You're in the freeway and there's no.
I'm queued for an enrollment. There's no off ramp.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But I will get like new features. I mean, this is good, right?
Yeah, you are getting the new features, yeah.
One weird thing is that this recent files goes back to files I haven't opened since 2019, which is like a little odd. That's normal,
right.
Huh?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Here's all my sketch images. Wow, I was wondering where those went.
Okay. Yeah, so you got the new File Explorer, so that's all the new stuff. Not just tabs,
tabs.
But you have the new nav bar, you have that favorites thing. And
Wahoo! I'm so happy. That's
so
nice.
You're in beta. You're not in release preview. That's the problem. Well, that's a problem. We'll see.
I didn't do anything honest.
If they ever announce anything, I will think of you immediately because this is a big problem. Yeah. And I'll let you know because I think you are going to have a window, but they have never said that. They've never promised.
I'm queued for an enrollment. That's my life there.
Yeah. You blinker on and no one's letting you in. Cars are just flying by.
Merge! I want to merge!
Yep. Not happening. Sorry.
Do I get third-party widgets?
Actually, you probably do. No. Oh, not yet. So they just, this is in the dev channel now.
Oh, okay.
So Microsoft,
but I'll get it when it comes out.
This probably was a build announcement too, right? Or, well, maybe not. Maybe sometime over the summer. At some point, Microsoft said, we're going to allow third parties to build widgets for the widgets experience in Windows 11. Yeah. This is now available in the dev channel.
They talked about Focus, which surprised me because I've had that all along.
Yeah. They talked about a lot of old features.
Okay, that's what I thought. It seemed like they were typing stuff like something's happened, but this was old. I've had this all
so
summer.
Focus has been renamed to Do Not Disturb in 22H2. And then there's also a Focus. I think it's called Focus. Actually, it's just called Focus Sessions.
Yeah.
Which is a clock sessions. Feature. Mm-hmm. Right, maybe Focus Sessions was the old name. See, I lose track.
It's such a terrible button.
Well, click the left thing on the top left there. This will bring up the
whole
app.
And then, that's nice. Okay.
The idea there is you have a little timer that counts down. It's just all you need. You can turn it on and off.
That's my half hour focus. Yeah.
They want you to focus, Leo. They don't want you to look at complex UIs. Yeah.
Nothing fancy. That's cool.
Yeah.
I always thought it was funny that while I'm focusing, I can listen to music. I'm surprised they don't have a...
Well, so apparently Spotify has playlists that are designed to not distract you.
Hide Spotify. I don't want to know anything about that. Nor do I want to know about my to-do list. Let's just collapse that. Yeah. Okay. I'm making progress. Every day in every way, I'm getting better and better.
Good.
I also opened a Focus. I don't think it's called Focus Session. I think it's called Focus now. I think
Focus.
That was the name.
I just looked at it.
Yeah, it's just Focus. Yeah.
Focus. Yeah.
It used to be called Focus Session.
When I clicked on it, it says focusing.
Yeah.
Focusing.
I'm focusing. I don't want to be focusing.
We'll let you know every hour you're focusing.
Yeah. I don't want to.
That's not Do Not Disturb. That's a separate
Do Not
thing.
Disturb is, I think. They've changed the terminology. So Do Not Disturb is not a new feature, but it has a new name. Focus Session was an old name. I don't remember if that became Do Not Disturb or if that just became so.
It's Focus. Two separate things, it looks like. I got Focus.
It is two separate
and
things.
And I got Do Not Disturb.
Right. So Do Not Disturb is just no notifications.
Yeah.
Focus is Do Not Disturb plus other stuff. With the timer, the ability to integrate with To Do, the ability to integrate with Spotify, et cetera.
Right.
It's sort of like Do Not Disturb plus plus.
Plus plus.
Nice. Plus plus pack.
I have not written this chapter yet. I find it confusing. So we will get to that. Yeah. We're going to get to that.
Clearly. Okay.
It's confusing.
Yesterday, of course, Meta had its Meta Connect event. thereby stomping on Panos Panay.
well, with the help of Satya Nadella, right?
Yeah. Satya shows up for Mark. Well, it's CEO to CEO. You just wouldn't understand.
Sure.
Not for Panos. He shows up for Zuck and goes on and on about how it's a kind of a – I'm going to be honest with you. Remember that rumor that Microsoft was giving up on HoloLens?
Yeah.
This is not going to help. They're denying.
Well, okay, but think about this in the perspective of what Microsoft does everywhere, right? We often talk about how Microsoft will meet their customers where they are. And this is not that a lot of their customers are on Oculus equipment exactly, but if there are going to be, I'll call them competing metaverses or competing VR, MR, AR solutions or whatever, Microsoft should be there.
Yeah.
They should be there, right? So. Yeah.
And it really is a shift for Oculus because it's been a gaming thing up to now.
Well, you know
now
better
they're
than
you know how to use Windows with it. They're actually showing Windows and an Office.
They're coming up with their own kind of Teams style meeting.
It's in Teams
environments.
Yeah,
right. But there's a thing. Meta has something called something Horizon or Horizon something.
Workplaces, Horizon workspaces or places.
Yeah, I don't know. I am never going to expend any energy figuring out what they're doing, but. I know they have their own thing. So I think it's interesting on both sides that they're partnering with each other. They're allowing Teams into the Meta thing. They're allowing Meta into the Teams thing. You know, there's a little bit of a, you know, chocolate and peanut butter thing going on here. But
the HoloLens is very much augmented reality. You see through it. You see what's going on.
Yeah.
And this Oculus, even though it has external cameras, it is, you know, covering your eyes.
Right.
Sure.
Now, at the end of the Microsoft blog post about this yesterday, there's a mention about the HoloLens, and it said, we are still committed to the HoloLens. Oh, don't misread what this announcement's about, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
It makes sense.
You know, the week before Google killed Stadia, they said the same thing.
Yeah, we're not killing it, really, honestly. So
they literally announced new features for Stadia 6 days before they killed the service.
That's unbelievable.
Right.
So Google.
See.
Yep. Well, I'm just saying, there's no guarantee.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of uncertainties. They reportedly canceled HoloLens 3. Alex Kipman's out. Like, there's been no motion on the HoloLens front in a while, right? So, yeah, I mean, if they do another version of the HoloLens, my guess is it's very focused on industrial metaverse stuff and it ties in with Dynamics. It's not
in the military.
A consumer play, right?
Yeah, it'd be less objectionable to kill an avatar, you know, than a real soldier. So. You know, make it a cartoon. It's fun.
It doesn't look like it would be much fun to be operating Windows or Office in VR.
Well, the reason is those things are 2D experiences that are just, you know, if you've ever used Windows Mixed Reality, it looks like a floating picture in space. It's just flat. So the Office that Microsoft is bringing to Oculus is just the Office web apps. In a 2D floating experience. That's what it
is. But I don't want a 3D Microsoft Word, so I'm not unhappy.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's going to be what Loop does.
Yeah.
That's why we're waiting on Loop. It's the 3D stuff.
Look what's behind your document. It's Clippy.
It wasn't just even that. It wasn't just even Teams and the Microsoft apps. Then they started talking about Windows 365 is coming to Meta's stuff.
Yeah.
And They're like, and Intune and Azure Active
Directory. Intune.
Like, wait a minute. What are we doing here, guys?
Who wants to do Intune? What IT professional?
Well, actually, I can tell you.
But
so
Yeah.
It's got to be, it's an MDM play for Oculus, right? In other words,
it is.
If this device into your workplace.
Yeah. That makes, it's not, you're going to be doing Intune.
No, you're not going to be managing. No. It's to manage
Oculus.
Who
knows
devices.
The way things are going? But, yeah. I mean, like, yeah.
No, but it will be an MDM. It'll be a mobile device.
That's right. That's all it is. Yeah. So,
Windows 365 is a little more confusing. Like, you're in your Windows 365 environment inside of Horizon Worlds.
I know. Well, okay. So again, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. And again, the notion of meet your customers where they are. One of the points of Windows 365 isn't that you have Windows and then you're going to run Windows 365 inside of it. It's that you have a Windows app or some work thing, whatever it is, that runs in Windows. It's hosted in the cloud. Mm-hmm. You can access it on an iPad, on your phone, on your Oculus. Yeah. That's all it is, right? It's the your app will be available where you are. I think that's all it is.
The gaming, though, the gaming wording was the weakest and the most wishy-washy in the Microsoft blog post. It was like, we're looking at Game Pass, like how to do that, blah, blah, blah. They made it very, like, I don't know, maybe they didn't want to give away the farm, but I'm like, that wording on that was so, like, non-committal compared to
I'm just, Valve, the Valve store is on Vive.
Yeah.
Steam.
Yeah, but what does the Valve store look like on Vive? In other words, do you go in there and you run like Half-Life 2 and it just, how does it work?
If there are 3D games, you get them in the store and they're showed in your library.
Mm-hmm. But how do they display inside of the Vive?
You're in a room.
Like a room and it's a flat thing.
And then there's a thing and you can point at it.
Like a theater or something.
Yeah.
So there's a screenshot that shows it's the Xbox apps, but we'll call it the Xbox Cloud Gaming app, for lack of a better term, as the same thing I described for Office on the web. It's just a flat 2D. That's what they showed. So, they have this idea that we're going to bring Xbox Cloud Gaming to the metaverse, but right now it's not interactive VR games, although maybe that will happen. It's just flat 2D games on a flat surface inside the metaverse. So,
yeah. But that's helpful. And for Microsoft, if they are going, do they have VR games
So Microsoft has Windows Mixed Reality, and they have a little, the environment you walk around there.
I'm sure they'd like to have Beat Saber
see your photos
in
on a
there
wall.
So that's the idea, I guess, right? Yeah. You're going to have some.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I've used it, but I would imagine if you wanted to play like Doom or something, or even some modern game, it would just be, it'd be like fake wall inside of the fake house, and it would project onto it, and it would just be a 2D experience.
I want to play No Man's Sky, which in VR would be pretty cool.
And oh my god, yes, and turn around and actually be in the environment. Of course, that'd be amazing. Yeah. And that's where, like, these modern 3D games could be unbelievable.
Yeah.
Other than you would need a barf bag,
And they really, I do get nauseated. Yeah. I'm one of those people who does get nauseated.
I do too.
Guys, you mentioned Doom. We have to mention Doom on Notepad, don't we? Somebody brought Doom to Notepad. Somebody has to say it. I said it. There it is.
I really checked out on the Doom running on anything.
It will run on anything.
Well, it runs on Notepad.
Got it running on the touch bar on Mac laptops. You can run Doom.
It runs on John Deere tractors.
Yeah. It does. That's the corn game, though. You're harvesting.
Yeah, they're still harvesting corn.
It runs anywhere.
Sure. It does literally run on John Deere tractors. All right. In that note, let's do the Xbox segment and get the hell out of here. Cued for unenrollment, so you better hurry up.
Cued for unenrollment, by the way, great show title. The second country to do so has now okayed Microsoft's Activision Blizzard acquisition. That country is Brazil. The only reason it's interesting because they okayed it. I don't think they're one of the major heavyweights we're worried about, but anyway, they did okay. But as is always the case throughout this process, there's been a bunch of documents leaked through on both sides. Not leaked, I actually just published, right? So Sony has kind of weighed in. Obviously, they don't want it to happen. Microsoft has weighed in. Microsoft talked revenues for the first time, and I don't actually have it in my article, but I believe the figure was last year, 2021, Microsoft made, I think it was $1.9 billion from they called it Xbox Cloud Gaming, so we'll call it Game Pass. So it's, it's a thing, I guess. It's getting there. I think they were trying to show that it was business that has potential and was not a major factor yet, but it will be, right? So it's heading there. So that's good. This is the part of our industry that I kind of hate. I don't, for lack of a better term, I don't like, which is, you know, Phil Spencer appears in a video and people start analyzing what's on his shelf. And they're like, oh my God, look, he's got like an Xbox prototype up there. Or actually they thought it was a, you know, the new streaming stick thing we've all been waiting for. And there was so much talk about it. He actually had to come up publicly and say, guys, it's just an old prototype. It's not what we're doing.
I did notice that shelf behind him, the shelf of the dead toys. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. So Microsoft is known to be working on some kind of an Xbox cloud gaming hardware dongle stick, something, right? Something that will probably end up being more like an Apple TV that plugs into any TV unless you play these games on your TV. And, you know, obviously some people are like, I don't understand what, just put it on Android TV, just put it on Apple TV, just put it on smart TVs, like actually they have in some cases. Yeah, I mean, they're going to do all that too, but they need to have their own thing, right? You need to address every possible screen and you need a Roku Apple TV type device. So they're known to be working on it. They've stepped away from some earlier design. Apparently that was what was on the shelf. And I'm already sorry I spent so much time talking about it. Anyway.
You want to see Doom and Notepad?
Yeah.
Here it is. ASCII text.
Yeah, and it looks terrible, but it is the game.
It's the game. Real game. Yeah. Playing back, I guess, through an ASCII text file.
Sure.
He says it's unmodified Notepad. So, Mary Jo, you too.
Yes.
I mean, this is not good.
In a way, it says something about the speed of Notepad, that it could actually render this ASCII fast enough to have smooth motion.
Guys, Notepad can do anything.
Apparently.
If Notepad would just support Markdown, I would be all over it.
That's the Notepad version of our Xbox segment. So continue on.
Yep. I don't remember if this ever came out, but sometime in the past year, Google announced that they were going to allow cloud streaming games to launch from Google search results. Now, at the time, obviously they had Stadia, but they were like, no, it's not just Stadia. We're going to do this for competing services as well. So that you could imagine there would be a game that was on multiple services and it would say something like play now on Stadia, play now on Xbox Cloud Gaming, whatever. So this past week, Microsoft announced that Bing now supports, actually there, it's live. If you do a Bing search for a game that is on Xbox Cloud Gaming, one of the options will be a play button so that you can stream it through the browser. Yeah,
that's neat. Fine.
Yep. At least it didn't require a new toolbar or sidebar.
Whatever.
Yeah. So that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. So for the three people in the audience that actually use Bing, enjoy it.
And soon you're going to be able to get Bing to draw pictures for you. That's cool.
Yeah, that's right. That actually is interesting.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, let's take a little break, come back. Back of the book coming up. Paul's tip of the week, app of the week, enterprise pick of the week, code name pick of the week, beer pick of the week. And... I just saw your beer pick. Okay, we're going to talk right now, though, about our sponsor, Collide. For businesses that use Slack, Collide is amazing. If you're in IT, you know that kind of the standard thing is to, you know, kind of lock everything down, right? To the point where some IT departments put glue in the USB ports. The challenge, though, with device security is it's always been difficult to scale. You can't go around and put glue in 10,000 USB ports. And the bigger you are, the more edge cases you introduce, the easier it is for significant issues to escape your notice. The more, you know, BYOD, bring your own devices you've got. And then on top of that, remote work happened, right? Now, the challenge is exponentially harder. So whether you're a fast-growing startup that has to graduate from managing device inventory in Google Sheets, yes, people do that. I do that, actually, I'm embarrassed to say. Or an enterprise trying to speed up service desk issues, you need visibility into your fleet of devices in order to meet security goals and keep everything running smoothly. Well, you know that, right?
There is a lot of endpoint solutions out there, but how do you do it when your design team uses Macs, your accounting's on Windows, your top developers are on Linux? What do? You get Collide. Collide is an endpoint security solution that gives IT teams a single dashboard for everything, regardless of the OS. It's truly cross-platform. Equals across the board. Collide, K-O-L-I-D-E, can answer questions that MDM can't. Questions like, do you have production data being stored on device? Do you even know if you do? Are all your developers' SSH keys encrypted? Or are they just sitting there in the documents folder under a notepad file, my SSH private key? Here it is. A host of other data points. You'd have to write custom shell scripts. You'd have to become a power shell guru to do it. Think about it. And then what are you going to do? Because you've got Linux and Mac too, right? If a Linux vulnerability is exposed tomorrow, how will you figure out how many machines are at risk and which machines are using which kernel? What do? You file a ticket with the team that manages your MDM, and then you wait days to get a report back. Then you send a mass email. You hope the Linux users open it up. No. With Collide, you know right away because you have real-time access to your fleet's data. And instead of installing intrusive agents or locking down devices, Collide takes a user-focused approach. We've talked about this before, how Collide makes your users part of your team. You communicate security recommendations, instructions, how-tos directly to the employees on Slack. So Collide, we focused on the kind of getting the employees on your team, but I really want you to understand Collide is an amazing tool. You can answer every question you have about your fleet without intruding on your workforce. Totally cross-platform. Visit KOLIDE.com/WW to find out how. KOLIDE.com/WW. Follow that link. You're going to get some cool Collide stuff. I got some t-shirts. I got stickers. Just for activating a free trial. The t-shirts are great. KOLIDE, Collide.com/WW. Please use a WW so they know you saw it here. Collide. It's an idea whose time has come. Once you understand, it's like, oh, why didn't we do this all along? Paul Thurrott, time for your tip of the week.
Get into it. What happened? Microsoft published an amazing document this week detailing how some of the security features in Windows 11, 22H2 specifically, will actually harm performance of games. Oh. And so the issue is... So this is one of those weird deals where obviously between Windows 10 and Windows 11, the first version, it was kind of an upgrade in security requirements around hardware and so forth. And now in 22H2, we're actually seeing security features that are often hardware-backed being turned on by default. Now, if you upgrade from Windows 11 21H2 to 22H2, this probably won't be an issue. But if you get a new computer based on 22H2, certain security features will be enabled by default and will, in fact, impact the performance of your games. One of them is called memory integrity, which is something you can actually enable manually if you want to through the, the Windows security tool, right? You can go in there and turn that on. But I guess it's enabled in 22H2, so... Microsoft is recommending that if you play games, you might want to turn that off. So because people are actually publishing tips like, here's how you can improve the performance of games on Windows 11. And then the next day you could publish another article that says, here's how you could improve the performance, the security of your computer, which is by harming the performance of your games. So I don't know if they'll work on this over time, but for people who are serious about gaming, this is going to be a small problem in the short term. So just something to know about. We're trying to do the right thing for everybody, but
that's why I game in Linux and there's no security.
There
it runs beautifully.
Yeah. Well, that would be one approach. and then this week, Oracle, our favorite software company, shipped VirtualBox 7.0, which is actually awesome, by the way. So
yeah, it's free and it's got some nice new features. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So new UI fully supports Windows 11, meaning previous versions actually didn't meet some of the hardware requirements. So things around the processor, TPM, and RAM were not things that were set up properly in previous versions of VirtualBox, they are now. From a technical perspective, VirtualBox, I believe, is what's called a Type 2 hypervisor, meaning it's a basically an app that runs on top of an operating system, as opposed to Hyper-V, which I think is called a Type 1 hypervisor, which is something that runs concurrently with the operating system. In fact, it's used for certain services by the operating system. It's kind of a unique way of doing it. But if you've ever used these two products, you might know that VirtualBox is actually better in many ways. If your idea is to run just an operating system on top of your operating system.
Like a window with, you know, something in it. Yeah.
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 Yep. It's actually, it's almost like Hyper-V is too technical. Right. Like, one of the problems I have with Hyper-V is I can't get sound. But also because of the way it presents itself, it's basically like an RDP into a different OS partition on the disk. So it's just a weird setup. This is more traditional.
Just emulates a whole machine.
Yeah. Works really, really well. Yeah. So for things like, you know, testing, or you're a developer, or in my case, you want to take screenshots of like setup or whatever, I think VirtualBox works great. Also, it works on Windows 11 or 10 Home, where Hyper-V is not natively supported. Mm-hmm. Although there are workarounds, which we will discuss in the future. For now, I would say for most people that need virtualization, and it's free, like you said, VirtualBox is great.
Great
because Oracle bought it.
Yeah,
to be clear, they did not. Bad. Yeah, it did not originate it, but they kept it free and they've been updating it. So
you are going to actually talk about installing Windows 11 on hands-on Windows this week, I think.
Am I?
Yeah, well, you recorded a long time
ago. I'm kind of far ahead on the...
You're very good about that. But we thought we'd make that one public. So normally hands-on Windows is a club members only thing. Paul Thrott does that every week, just like Micah does hands-on Macintosh for the club. But
we're going to do a crossover episode where we talk about running Windows on Mac.
I think you should. You know? That's a great idea.
It'd be like when Angela Lansbury was on Magnum PI.
Yeah.
It'd be like the Murder, She Wrote crossover.
We call them, the kids call them collabs these days.
Yeah, there you go.
If you're not a Club Twit member, this is just one of many reasons you want to join Club Twit. Ad-free versions of this show and all of our shows. Access to the Discord, where Mary Jo and I and Paul have so much fun. By the way, the Discord wants to know when you're going to show up in a cowboy outfit for hands-on Windows. I guess it's the theme song. Yeah, because the theme song.
Oh. I think it was meant to evoke the pirate map. Like,
oh, it's yo-ho, yo-ho. Yeah, because
I'll get one of those giant sombrero things and throw like a blanket over my shoulders.
I got one you can borrow right here.
I'd be like the Martin Short character in Three Amigos. Yep. I could do that.
Where was I? Oh, yeah. Subscribe. You get access to the Discord. You get access to Twit Plus feed. All the conversations.
Is that a hat for a small dog? What are you wearing? What is that?
It's beautiful.
It's like the dog from Taco Bell would wear that hat.
Yo quiero Cozumel. I'm going to send this to you. You can wear it the next time you're in Mexico City.
I have a big head. I'm going to need a bigger hat.
we're going to need a bigger hat. If you're not yet a member of Club Twit, really, also in all seriousness, which I know it's hard to take me seriously with this hat on, in all seriousness, it does make a big difference as we head into difficult economic times. The club is what makes it possible for us to develop new shows like Hands-On Windows. We really appreciate your support. And it's I think it's very affordable. $7 a month. There's an annual plan for people who don't like that monthly ding. There's also an enterprise plan. And you can buy individual shows, including Hands-On Windows, for $2.99 a month. But all of that, all the deets at twit.tv/clubtwit. We're not getting that sweet, sweet Microsoft money to talk about Surface. So we need you to help us out, if you would. Again, Club Twit is at twit.tv/clubtwit. Now, I turn to Mary Jo Foley for the Enterprise Pick of the Week.
Yes. So if you look in the Book of News today, you will see something called Microsoft Syntex being discussed. It's very interesting to me in the Book of News. They do not tell you what this is. What this is a product currently called SharePoint Syntex that they rebranded to Microsoft Syntex. I think they almost felt like because they announced SharePoint Syntex in 2020, you know, during the pandemic, that no one really followed along and understood what it was. And so this is kind of the reannounce of SharePoint Syntex. SharePoint Syntex was the very first piece of Project Cortex, which was Microsoft's knowledge management system that we talked a lot about on Windows Weekly, to go commercial. And at that time, Microsoft said, SharePoint Syntex is basically using machine teaching to automatically tag, sort, route your content, things like expense reports, invoices. It'll automatically kind of tag it, move it to the right place, and keep your flow going within your organization of this kind of content. So now that they've rebranded this as Microsoft Syntex, it still is doing the same thing. It's doing that exact same machine teaching, routing the content, but they're adding 11 new services to it over the coming weeks. They're going to be adding things like annotation, contract management, order processing, all those boring things that your people who route documents need to care about. So this is coming in 2023, all these new features. And also they've hinted there's going to be a new pay-as-you-go licensing option for it, but they wouldn't tell me anymore. They said, stay tuned as we get closer to 2023. Nice. So that, if you see Microsoft Syntex, that's what that is. S-Y-N-T-E-X.
Yay. They took Cortex and they split it off into Syntex.
Yeah, basically.
And our code name pick of the week?
Okay, this is another one. Like, Microsoft didn't really explain this in the Book of News, but I figured out what this was. So at in the Book of News, you're going to see something about Microsoft announcing a preview of AKS, which is Azure Kubernetes Service, for Windows IoT and Windows devices. So when I saw this, I'm like, wait, didn't we hear about this before? Yes, we did, at Build, and it was codenamed Project Haven, which we talked about at the time. So Haven is a Microsoft-supported Kubernetes platform. So they're bringing containers to IoT devices, IoT products, the Edge, Windows devices. The idea at Microsoft is, let's put containers everywhere, right? And then as people develop cloud applications, they can run part of it in the cloud and part of it on the Edge and kind of move whichever parts make sense in real time as you're processing. So another cool thing about this Project Haven is there's two VMs that are part of this. One of them is a Windows VM and the other one is a Linux VM. Mm. And the Linux VM is based on Microsoft's Linux distribution, which we've talked about before, called Mariner, CBL Mariner. All of this can be managed by Azure Arc. So there's a lot of things. It's like, all these things we've heard about in pieces are coming together as part of Microsoft's updated vision for how people can develop apps for the cloud and run apps and manage apps in the cloud. So finally, we see Project Haven coming to the market.
Finally.
Yes.
And finally, speaking of finally, it's time for beer.
Yes. So I was thinking about Panos. Panos, you know, we always joke. Panos is pumped. We always say that.
He's pumped.
He says that about himself.
I am so pumped.
He's pumped.
Yes.
So today's beer is called Southern Tier Pumpking. Not Pumpking. Pumpking.
Pumpking.
Pumpking.
This is a, if you
it's almost like Pumpking.
It is. It is. If you know anything about craft beers, this is a very famous one from New York State. And you either love it or hate it. It tastes like a slice of pumpkin pie. It's got a lot of pumpkin spices. It's in the past, I swore it off after a while because I'm like, it's like eating a piece of pumpkin pie, but in beer. It didn't even taste like beer. I'm just like, yuck, too syrupy, too sweet,
yeah,
yuck.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had a glass of this last week at one of my local bars, and I'm like, oh, somebody got the message of Southern Tier, and they have fixed it.
Oh.
So if you've heard about Southern Tier Pumpkin and you've been like, oh, I don't know, I've heard it's not that good, try this year's batch. It's quite a bit better. It's still very high in alcohol, 8.8%, not a light beer. Tastes like pumpkin, like you have the pumpkin spices, but it does taste like pumpkin. So if you like pumpkin,
you know how obsessed we are with pumpkin at this time of year.
I just don't get it.
I know.
Yeah.
Pumpkin is the thing no one would ever think about ever.
I know.
It
you know
does
what I mean?
Not taste like it's pumpkin like, spice latte.
I'm interested in beer, but I want it to taste like a squash or maybe some other kind of a gourd.
No flavor. Yeah. It's the spices.
It is. It's the spices. Although, you know, if you've ever had a pumpkin beer that doesn't have a lot of spices, there is a taste. It's like squash.
Yeah, it's like squashy. Yeah.
Well, they're doing it the right way. They're using pumpkin puree, I guess. as opposed pumpkin to puree.
Yep.
Some fake, you know, chemical taste or right. whatever.
So it's real pumpkin in it.
Yeah.
And it's pumpkin orange.
It's not
bad.
I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but if you're looking for something that's very widely available,
if you
want to
be
everywhere.
Pumped.
Get what's the word? Panos'd up.
Panos gets pumpkinged. That's the thing.
You Panos on. For a guy who says he's pumped all the time, though, he never really seems that pumped.
He seems low.
Yeah, today it was like, very, they had the quiet music, like very like mellow. I was like,
he's not really.
He's not pumped. He's actually kind of depressed.
He didn't feel pumped today.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to psychologically evaluate him, but yeah, maybe. I mean, he's kind of.
Is there a betting line on his future at Microsoft at all?
No. He's on the SLT.
He got a huge promotion. He runs Windows, right?
He's a big shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
He should get nicer sneaks. Just saying his kicks are a little, little low rent.
Wow.
Ask Christina Warren. Just to go on over to GitHub, Panos, and say, get some nice kicks.
I would have thought she would have given him this advice. She left, right? Did she leave Microsoft?
No, she's at GitHub. That's, GitHub. I believe it. Microsoft joint.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Still part.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, you guys did it. You survived. I was up early.
I've been up since 5:30. It's suffice to say, I will be sleeping on the stairs on the way to my bedroom.
Yes.
Have some pumpkin.
Not even going to make it.
It'll help you sleep the sleep of the dead. It is Halloween. I hope you have some good costumes prepared. Paul Thurrott is at Thurrott.com. Not a spooky site at all. A great place to learn all about what's going on with Microsoft. Do get the premium membership because there's some really good content, kind of preview content for the Field Guide to Windows 11. Many of the chapters are already up there. As premium members, I'm a premium member, get to see that. Of course, when the book's out, which is imminent, you'll be able to get it at leanpub.com, as you can still get the Field Guide to Windows 10. Mary Jo Foley writes about Microsoft at her ZDNet blog, allaboutmicrosoft.com. And they join us every week right here at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. Of a Wednesday morning to talk about Windows with all you winners and dozers. We're dozers today, Paul. That's for sure.
I feel like I'm always a dozer.
Mary Jo's a winner. you can watch the show after the fact, twit.tv/WW. There's a Windows Weekly YouTube channel. And, of course, you can subscribe in your favorite podcast player, and that way you'll get it automatically the minute it's available. Leave us a review. 5 stars, please. If you like the show, don't leave us a review. If you don't like the show, just go somewhere else. Just leave us alone, please. We will be back next week.
Equilibrium.
I guess that's all there is to say. Except have a great week, you too, and we will see you next time on Windows Weekly. Bye bye.
If you are looking for a midweek update on the week's tech news, I got to tell you, you got to check out Tech News Weekly. See, it's all kind of built in there with the title. You get to learn about the news in tech that matters. Every Thursday, Jason Howell and I talk to the people making and breaking the tech news, get their insights and their interesting stories. It's a great show to check out. twit.tv/TNW.